Torah tells us in Parshas Kisetze, there's a mitzvah when you have someone who was put to death by Beis Din, ki kavatik brenah v'yamahu, you're mechayev to be cover him. So the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin raises the shaila whether this is a din only by Haruga Beis Din, whether this applies to all of the meisim. So the Gemara seems to present a machlekes. So one day in the Gemara is minayin lamelanes meis hasha obelos sase. How do you know that even a regular person who dies, you have to bury him right away, and if you don't bury him, you're in violation of nisar of losolim losolah eight. So the Gemara says kavatik brenah was a double lashon, comes the rabbos. All types of mason. The other thing about another lashon says, "Remez the kavura min haTorah minayin." How do you know there's a hint for the idea of kavura for other mason in the Torah? And the Gemara quotes the same pasuk, "Kavatik brenah b'yamahu." So what's the difference between saying that minayin the kavura min haTorah, and that's the difference between saying remez the kavura min haTorah? So the Lecha Mishnah and the Rambam points out that it's a very real machlokes that one day holds the kavura is derais and one day holds kavura is on midrabbanan, because the mitzvah was only said by Haruga Beis Din. So one day in the Gemara says that in the Chinami that the mitzvah of kavura by all other mason is on midrabbanan, and the other day it says no, that's a special riba, it's a din min haTorah, it's exerts a kasa that applies to all other mason. We, whether Lecha Mishnah is accepted or not, lemaisa we pask in the halacha absolutely clear that there is a mitzvah of kavura midaraisa, either that everybody agrees to it in the Gemara, or even if it's a machlokes in the Gemara, halacha lemaisa we pass that kavura is deraisa. My nafkamini from the fact that we pass him that the mitzvah of kavura is deraita all mason. So there is a sugya in Masechet Sanhedrin where the Gemara raised the following shad. Let's say a person before he dies says, "Well, I'm not interested in being buried. I don't want to be buried. You can cremate me. You can do whatever you want with me. You can leave me around. I'm not interested in being buried. I'll tik baruni. What's the din? Are you allowed to listen to the person or not?" So the Gemara says, "It depends. It depends what the reason for kavura is." So the Gemara says, "You can philosophize. Why is there a halacha that you have to bury somebody?" So the Gemara says, "This is mishum kavod ha'chayim in the sense of that it's a need." It's disgusting for people to see that the dead body just sitting and rotting away, not being buried. That's a covered of riyas for the whole world. Or no, you say that it's dafkim l'tzorich hameis, that kavura is considered to be like a kapara for the person. So if the person says he's not interested in the kapara, so then so be it. So the Gemara says that'll be enough kamina. So if kavura is only l'tayvas hameis, then the person has a right to say that. I'll meraltik baruni, shomim lo. Hashem can behold that kavura is l'tzorich ha'atibur, l'tzorich the rest of the world. So then he's not a balabayas to say that he doesn't want to be buried. So comes the Rambam and Paskins in Hilchos Avel that Ha'om Ra'al Tik Baruni ain't Shaman Lo, Sh'ne'amar Kavat Tik Baruni Sh'kvura Mitzvah Sesei. So that's how it says in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't present that. The Gemara says that Ha'om Ra'al Tik Baruni, whether or not he's accepted to say that, depends on what the reason of Kvura is. And the Rambam gives his own reason. The Rambam says, because there's Mitzvah in the Torah Kvura. So it's a Lecha Mishnah that Rambam says, that the Rambam obviously learned Pshat like this. That if you hold that kavur is a mitzvah deraisa, so then what are we philosophizing about what the mitzvah is? We paskin, not like Rabbi Shimon, we paskin lo dashin in time of the Kura. So we don't explain away what the reason of the mitzvah is. So the Torah says the mitzvah kavur finished. Of course you have to bury a person. Omer al tikpuruni, avad is not ain shaman like. The Rambam learned Pshat in the Gemara is that assuming kavur is on amid the Rabbanon, so then the Gemara is pulling. So why did the Chum institute the mitzvah kavura? So you can philosophize either this because of this, because of that, and then a Chaman of Kamina, Omer al tikpuruni. So that's why the Rambam says that Omer al tikpuruni ain't shaman like. Because kavura is a mitzvah, as I say, because the Rambam passed on that day in the Gemara that kavura is not just a remez, that kavura is minayin the kavura min haTorah, it's a real drasha gemara deraisa. So therefore, mamela, it's going to apply to all circumstances, and the Omer al tikbruni is not going to be listened to. So halacha lemaisa, we pass can clear that kavura is a mitzvah deraisa. We pass can Omer al tikbruni is not listened to and finished. What exactly constitutes kavura? So the Gemara says that in order to fulfill kavura, so that's not enough just to take the person and put him into an aron and leave the aron there. The Gemara learns that from Apostle. The Gemara says, if the Torah would have just said kavur, so maybe that's also kavur, the kavur. He's covered over, he's put away, he's buried inside the aron. So it says kavur tik berenu, it's a washin, a double washin, it's a ribui. So it comes to the Gemara, and that's, you see from here that if a person just puts his mace into an aron and just leaves the aron out, that's a bitl mitzvah kavura. So the Gemara says, you need kavura bekarka. So that's derived from this pasuk of kavur tik berenu. That's what the Ramban writes in Teresa Adam, and it's quoted verbatim in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person takes his mace and puts his mace into a box and just leaves the mace there, so that's a bitl mitzvah deraisa kavura, and that's an isa deraisa of losol and of losvala ace. Whenever you're not yet to kavura, so the pashas is you're in violation of the din of halanas hameis. So comes the Ramban and says that if a person puts his mace into an aron and doesn't put the aron into the ground, that's a bitl mitzvah kavura. What if he takes the body and puts it into an aron and then puts the aron into the ground? Is that a bitl mitzvah kavura also? So the Ramban says no. The Ramban says that's okay. The Ramban says that the mitzvah kavura is as long as self goes off, the person ends up in the ground, that's all right, even though he ends up in a box inside the ground. What the halacha prohibits is just putting him inside a box and leaving him above ground. But if you put him into the ground at some point, even though he's inside a box in the ground, the Ramban says that's okay. does that mean that's okay lechatchila? That's the best way to do kvura. So the Ramban quotes Yerushalmi that says not that way. The Yerushalmi quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that one of the things he said in his tavo was that they should open up his aron. The question is, what does that mean exactly? To open up his aron. So the Ramban interprets what that means is that they could bury him in an aron. That's okay. You're allowed to even lechatchila bury somebody in an aron, but the aron should be open to the ground. So either that means that your mamash take out the bottom. So in effect, when he's put in the ground, so you have a fake bottom. You pull out the bottom. So now he's enclosed in an aron on three sides, but his body is touching the ground. Or maybe it means that if there's a holes in the aron or something, so there's a little bit of a kvura bekarka. So the Ramban says that's the chetchila. In terms of the mitzvah d'araisa of actual kvura mamish, so the Ramban says that yayitze no matter what. Yayitze whether with an aron, without an aron, but lechetchila, that idea that you're supposed to be within the ground, because that's a greater kapara, because the Gemara says that the ground is considered to be a greater kapara, so the Ramban writes, so that's the correct thing to do. Lechetchila, you're supposed to try to bury something without an aron. And if you're burying with an aron, so that's also okay, lechetchila, as long as the aron is open in some shape or form. So these are different menhagim about this. When Eretz Yisrael, they're very machmir in this. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury an aron altogether, like the din lechetchila, so you're supposed to bury the afka in the ground. In America, the problem with this is that's against the law, to bury without an aron. So it depends. Some people who don't follow the law, so they bury without an aron, or they take the bottom of the aron off. And those people who try to keep what the American government says, so they bury with an aron that we pass in Mikra, then that's okay. What we do today is we throw a little bit of dirt into the aron anyway, from the offer of Eretz Yisrael, that I'm not permitting to do. So maybe that's also a shtigel kvura bekarka. So again, those who follow what the government tells us, so we bury inside our rainus. Those who are not so careful, or those who live in Eretz Yisrael, so they bury like the lechatchila shel lechatchila to be buried directly into the ground. But in terms of the mitzvah kvur per se, so one is yaitse even with an aron inside the ground. Is it legal? I don't know. Is it illegal? I don't know. I'm not sure. What are they doing? Anyone else?
There's always holes.
So it's holes, yeah. It's very wild. He knows these things. I don't know. They're not being overall das. It's not an issa. It's not like they're telling you to eat reif. It's not like telling you not to do kura. They're telling you not to follow Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's tzavo. Okay, man. That's you have to listen to them. It's not a real din. It doesn't affect the status of the mitzvah kura. However, the case that the Ramban does say that the Shulchan Aruch is my favorite, if a person takes a body and puts it into a box and doesn't bury the box, that's for sure, and it's a deraisa. That's for sure, but the mitzvah kura deraisa. That's where Moshe has the truth about mausoleums. Mausoleums, that's what they do. They take the body, they put it into a box, and they stick it into a shelf somewhere. So they don't put it on the ground. So Moshe says, that's mamash and it's a deraisa. You're not allowed to bury some, quote unquote, bury somebody in a mausoleum.
Then, in New Orleans, they can't bury under the ground because the ground is like very soggy. So yeah.
Inside, like kuchen, like in the Gemara used to do it. In the days of the Gemara used to bury, right, it could be like in caves. In the days of the Gemara, they would bury people into the caves.
No, it's not a cave. It's not, I don't know if it's a car. I mean, I don't know what it is. But
it depends what it is. If it's
like these stone boxes that they, I guess, put aron into.
If it's connected to karka, so that's part of that kvur bekarka. If it's just like a draw somewhere, I don't know, that's a problem. I don't know.
Where's the mausoleum?
A mausoleum, I think it's not part of the karka, really. I mean, it's a building. It's a building, yeah, but that's part of the karka for this halachas. I don't think it's Ramosha writes before. I don't know. I've seen the outside of Muslims. I never grew up. It was not going to be inside. Literally inside, hopefully never. But, what? Yeah, they slide in. They can slide out also?
Right. The whole thing's on the outside.
It's like a drawer.
It's like a big cabinet.
It's like a file cabinet.
Right.
So why is this different?
So why is this case better? Is that Nash? I don't know. Is that Kuchen?
You know, cemeteries that have big little houses in the cemetery itself.
Sometimes yeah, but
there's monuments. Sometimes
I think the mason are on the ground there.
And if
I don't
you
know.
Have a mason
I don't know. All I know is Muslims are Moshe writes, but Farishas also. Then Moshe writes that not only are Muslims also, Moshe says he doesn't think you should bury somebody in a big sakavaris that has a mausoleum. He thinks that that's considered to be like a bizarre amaze because it's such a flagrant violation of covenant amaze. So that like Ramesha quotes, that there's an idea that you bury a big Talmid Chacham, you bury him together with a Sefer Torah. So you see that which is next to you in the Olam and the Beis HaKvaras, that's like to bury somebody next to the Sefer Torah, that's a covenant amaze. So to bury somebody 20 feet away from where they're in absolute flagrant violation of such a terrible violation of covenant amaze, so Ramesha thinks it's inappropriate to use such a basic verse altogether. I don't want to put basic verses out of business, but the basic verse in Paramus has a mausoleum. So I don't know, I'm not saying... I'm not saying one way or the other, but Lemaiser Moshe does write that in his tshuva that that's considered to be not a correct place to use. So in the mausoleum itself, it's for sure out of the question, and other things is subject to discussion. What is included in the mitzvah of Kura? So the answer should be pretty obvious. You have to bury a mace. I don't know. I think that's called in the ground. I don't know.
That's called part of the ground.
I think so. I don't know. So the din is that you have to bury a mace. What about part of a mace? Let's say you don't have an entire body. So how much do you have? How much is required in Kura? So this was a big machlekes hacharonim. So there's a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos of all places about the sugyas of carrying on Shabbos. How much does a person carry is considered to be a shir choshev in order to be chayav for carrying. So the two prak Masechta Shabbos, the Kol Gadol has this, and the eighth prak has this, and the ninth prak, the Gemara goes through all kinds of different shirim. If you carry a piece of paper, so you chayav for this amount. If you carry a piece of lead, you chayav for that amount. So the Mishnah speaks about what if you carry a mace? If you carry part of a mace, how much is considered to be a shir choshev? So we have in the Paskan Halacha that even if you carry an entire mace, you're potter. That's Rabbi Shimon about Melach Shantuch Lagufa's potter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that carrying a motzias a mace would be a problem, so how much of a mace do you have to carry in order to be chayiv? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says a kazayis ben a mace. So my high. So what do you exactly? What gives the kazayis ben a mace chashiva? So the Tosfos Yontif and that Mishnah, and then the tenth paragraph was that a Shabbos writes mestum. What gives it chashiva is because that's the amount you chayiv to be kover. Means if you have a kazayis ben a mace, that's a that we know the shir kazayis ben a mace is relevant in terms of ichos tuma. So it comes to Tosfos Yontif and says mestum. It's relevant in terms of ichos kavur. So if you carry out a half a kazayis ben a mace, so that's meaningless. That's, what are you going to do with it? You're not even mechuv to be kover it. So that's not a davar chashiv. But if you already have a kazayis, that's considered to be a davar chashiv. So Tosfos Yontif paskin whenever you have a kazayis ben a mace, it's chayiv in kavura. And the Mishnah Melech disagrees. The Mishnah Melech says that there's a din when it comes to mace mitzvah, that if let's say a person's walking on the way and just finds a kazayis ben a mace lying there, so the person's a kohen or a nazir, so he's not allowed to be mitame for that. He's only allowed to be mitame for a mace mitzvah if it's Rosh of Rubo there. If most of the body is there, so then he's allowed to be mitame b'toras mace mitzvah. So how did the Gemara know this? So the Rishalmi, I think it's Rishalmi and Nozir, if I'm not mistaken, that says, how do you know this shir, that you only mitame mace mitzvah for Rosh of Rubo? So the Rishalmi says, because the pasuk kover tik perenu b'yamahu tik perenu has the connotation like a davar shalom. You have to bury the whole thing. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, that's the makor for the din of mace mitzvah. That pasuk's not talking about mace mitzvah. That pasuk's talking about kvura. So says the Mishnah Melech, you see from the other Chazal understood that the ikar din of kavatik perenu, that's the makor. They only have to bury a mace shalim or rubo's kakula, rosh of rubo. That's considered to be ki'ilu a mace shalim. So, and memela, since the chi of kvura is only on a mace shalim or rov a mace shalim, so memela, a kohen is only allowed to be metame for mace mitzvah if there's a mitzvah kvura. So says the Mishnah Melech, since the whole makor started from that pasuk, so the whole din is predicated on the fact that the din of the mitzvah kvura is only if it's a mace shalim, or at least a rov of a mace. If it's just a little piece of a mace, a little bit of a kazayis ben a mace or something, there would not be a mitzvah kvura. That's what the Mishnah Melech says. Machlekes
HaPoskim. Didn't we say even in a gruv, something's chaser than the
definitely not a mitzvah? No, that's only b'toras krovim, but b'toras mace mitzvah, even if it's chaser, you're b'tami. So notwithstanding the fact that there is this machlokes about a little bit of the mace, whether there's a mitzvah kavura or not, so the poskim assume in Shulchan Aruch that what's called dam hanefesh, when a person dies, if some of the blood comes out b'shas misa, so the poskim assume that for sure there's a mitzvah kavura. Even though it doesn't, I don't know where exactly it says that in the Rishonim, but the Taz and the Shach both assume that it's a davar pashut that whatever part of the blood comes out b'shas misa, so that for sure has to be buried. That's mamish mitzvah kvur, or is that the Torah's covenant? I'm not exactly sure what the gedra din is, but that's what Lemaiset says in the start of the Shulchan Aruch.
If it came out b'chaim, so it's not tumor.
Yeah, it's a different story. Yeah, but it's different. There's nothing to do with tumor, because the tumor itself, you could just get rid of it. But here it's also mitzvah kvura. So this is the source of this discussion, the Taz and the Shach, is the tragic scenario that appears in the Shulchan Aruch, that normally we have, he's supposed to do a tara. Mishnah Masechta Shabbos talks about this, the Shulchan Aruch talks about about normally you try to clean up the body and put on techrichim and make it most bekavedik when a person dies. The only exception to this rule is if a person was killed. So here, there are two things. If a person is killed either in an accident, or if a person is killed by the goyim, so then it says in Shulchan Aruch that yadavka don't do a tara on the person, and yadavka don't take his clothes off, and yadavka don't put the chrichim on, because if you're going to do that, so you're going to lose out all the dam. So since some of the dam is yotzei, was the dam of nefesh, this was the dam that causes death, so you want to make sure to get all that blood, which is nikvah, so yadavka don't want to wash, to scrub the person off. So basically the Pesukim say we're supposed to do is you just do whatever can be done, and then you throw a white sheet or something over the person, and you bury the person with the dam, etc. The Pesukim discuss that there are two aspects here. That there's one aspect in terms of burying the dam and nefesh. Then there's another aspect that if the person was killed by the goyim, so we dafka want to bury the person all bloody and looking terrible. Dafka, what the Pesukim say, the halos chema, that you want the Rebbeinu Shlom to see, to be noken the dam. That means the person should come to the kisei hakavod, all looking horrible, looking like he was just killed by Kiddush Hashem. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shach and the Taz that you dafka want to bury the person not in a nice clean white techrichim, and you don't want to do a tara. You want the person to go lahalos that the Rebbeinu Shlom should see, should be noken the dam of the person who was killed. I'm going to turn off the tapes for a second. So the din is again. So the din is if you have a kazayis ben a mace, so some posts can say imamish is a din kavura meikar a din. If it's a rove of the mace, then there's also a din kavura meikar a din. If it's dam hanefesh, so that also has to be taken care of. Again, whatever the gather of that halacha is. What's the din in the following case? What if you have something which was taken, removed from a person, mechayim? What's the halacha? If it's eva menachai, the person's still alive and well, is there any din of kvura whatsoever in such an eva? So here there's a Gemara Maseches Ksubis. Some of you may have bumped into this this year in the second parak, in Daf Chof. The Gemara tells us follows that there used to be a special place at Beis HaKvaros where the mukei shchin, people would lose their limbs. So the Pashup Shad is that mukei shchin is talking about someone with leprosy. Because leprosy taka causes people to lose their limbs. So that's from the fact that Gemara calls it mukei shchin, doesn't call it taras. It seems to indicate that wasn't taras, but one of many rayas. Anyway, so the Gemara says that people who are mukei shchin, that their arms would fall off, so they would bury their arms. So the question is, why does they have to bury? Why don't they just take it and dispose of it? Why was there a din of kavura on it? So the Nedi Behuda has a tshuva. Well, he claims that this is not really a din of kavura per se. It's not a kavura, it's not a mace, not an eva minachai. But the din is that eva minachai is takam metame. That's what we were alluding to before. That if an eva comes off of a person's body, mechayim, it's metame, and a kain is also minatayra to be in contact with that eva. So that's why there was a din of kavura. It wasn't a din minatayra kavura. It was a din midiraban, and al takala, al mikshol. So you don't want to leave arms flying around in the streets. People are going to corner, they're going to walk by, they're going to become tame. That's the reason why you have to bury it. That's what the Nedi Behuda writes. So the Nedi Behuda writes, let's say you could dispose of it some other way, let's say, or you'll stash it away somewhere, you'll stick it in the mausoleum, whatever. You put it somewhere, no coin's ever going to go near it. So then that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's not a mitzvah kavura. It's just a din al takala. So Reb Moshe strongly disagrees with this. Reb Moshe writes that he thinks that this is mamash a din of kavura. His raya is that there's a drash in the Torah's kohenim that how do you know that a coin is not allowed to be metameh for an Eiver Minachai? How do you know that if his relative, his own Eiver Minachai, how do you know that if his relative's Eiver Minachai, a kohen is not allowed to be metame for that? Kamash from on a pasuk. So Moshe says, according to Hefter Rishonim, you're only allowed to be metame l'tzor kvura. We said before, Taizim Sochim, that Tumas Kohen and Kvura go hand in hand. No pun intended. So if you're only allowed to be metame for something which is toned kvura, so for shteitzach that it's built into this drasha that there's a mitzvah kvura on it. So it must be when the Gemara says that they were disposing of it, derech kvura, must be that it wasn't just al takala b'yama, but it was a real bona fide mitzvah kvura. So then Reb Moshe makes a little bit of an about face. Reb Moshe writes that even though he thinks there's mamash a mitzvah kvura on the eva minachai, he says he's not so sure that the kvura has to be dafka b'karka. He thinks that maybe it's the nature of this kvura is like a lower level kvura, as long as it's not munach b'bizoy, and that's okay. You can't just not because the Nerdy Beauty, you can't leave it. According to the Nerdy Beauty, if there was no konim around, you could just leave it just laying on the floor somewhere. According to Moshe, no. That you're not allowed to do, even if there are no konim around, you have to get rid of it in some you can burn it. Rav Moshe writes, he's not sure. He thinks that maybe there's a mitzvah kvura, but it's not the real type of kvura like kvura bekarka. As long as it's not munaf b'zayin, he thinks maybe that's good enough. He's not sure about that. Ma nafka mina between the Rav Moshe and the Nadi Behuda, lamaisa, you're really supposed to get rid of it anyway. Once Rav Moshe tones down this mitzvah kvura, so then lechora, everyone agrees that if you just dispose of it in some makavadik away, that should be all right. So lechorim, there's going to be a big nafka mina between Rav Moshe and the Nadi Behuda in the following. Let's say it's not an Aver Sholem. Aver in Halacha, like in Hilchos Aver Menachayim, it's Chulin, means it's Bosa Gidim V'Atzamos, means a finger is an Aver Menachayim. But sometimes you have something removed from a person's body, which is not an Aver, which is just Bosa B'Alma. So what's the din? Let's say a person has a kidney removed. Let's say a person has a lung removed or something. What? Let's say a person has meat, has balsam and a chai that's removed. So balsam and a chai is not metami. No matter how much it is, it's not metami. So according to the Rebbe, you think mamash thrown into the garbage. There's nothing wrong. But according to Rav Moshe, that basically chaim and meisim are the same in terms of kvura. The only reason why we don't bury live people is because they're still alive. But things that come off of a chai, some of the stami is supposed to bury. So there's a mitzvah kvura on a balsam and a chai also. So Rav Moshe writes that way in one of his tshuvas. What's interesting, Rav Moshe was saying to himself, Rav Moshe in an earlier tshuva writes that way, that lidi di that there's a mitzvah kvura, so then you have to bury the balsam and a chai also. This is mamish halach lamaisa. There's also all the time. There are people have surgeries to remove different things according to Rav Moshe. So it's mamish a mitzvah derechshash, a mitzvah derechis. And if you don't accept that vort that Rav Moshe had about that tzreifas may be good enough, so then you have to make sure to arrange with the surgeon to get the kidney, to get the lung, to get whatever is being removed in order to fulfill the mitzvah kvura properly. Then Rav Moshe in a later tshuva backs out. Rav Moshe in a later tshuva doesn't address the early tshuva. Rav Moshe writes that he's convinced that he's right and the Buddha's not right, that it's a mitzvah kvura, but he thinks that this mitzvah kvura was only nischadash on Eva Minachai, it wasn't nischadash on Bas Minachai, because the Maisa of the Gemara in Ksubas was talking about Eivar, about Zeroa. So he thinks maybe there's such a chiluk, just as we find in Ruchas Tumah chiluk. So maybe the gab of the mitzvah kvur there's a chiluk also. So Rav Moshe writes. So therefore he thinks that these types of things, remove a lung, a kidney, things like that, so there wouldn't necessarily be a requirement in terms of kvura. So Rav Moshe, on the one hand was the machmer against the Nadi Behuda, on the other hand, the later tshuva, Rav Moshe himself was backed out. Turn off the tape again for another story. Just kidding, it's going to be. Even though it's the kvur shiur, this is the most humorous shiur I think of the. There is another big machlekes habayiskim, also unfortunately very relevant, and that's in terms of nephalim. There's a woman has a miscarriage or a stillborn, is that required in kavura or not? So the Gemara Maseches Pesachim in that same sugya that Tosfos we quoted earlier in Daf Tes, that sugya Rashi's from the other days, and that sugya in Tosfos is a big sugya in Daf Tes, where the Gemara speaks about that in the olden days they used to when a woman would miscarry or stillborn something, they would throw the nafel into a bar. They would throw it into literally leave it in a pit. So the Hagos Naimini and Hilchas Mila writes that what do you mean they threw it into a pit? Why did they do kvura on it? So the Hagos Naimini says, you see from here that there's no chiv kvura on a nafel. That's his raya. The reason why this is what in the world this is doing in Hilchas Mila is as follows, because there's a din that you're allowed to do a kvura on Yontif Sheni. So the Gros Maimon says you're only allowed to do a kvura on Yontif Sheni on a mace that's chayv and kvura. But let's say a nafel, so it's not chayv and kvura. So you're not allowed to bury a nafel. If you want to bury it on a regular weekday, that's okay. But in terms of doing a mitzvah kvura on it, that you're not allowed to do on Yontif Sheni. So still, what does that do with the Chos Mila? So the Gros Maimon quotes the minig that doesn't appear in the Gemara that the Rishonim had of doing of let's say the stillborn. So the minig is if it's a boy, so you cut off the orla, you remove the orla before you do the kvur. There are different reasons for this. There's some who say that it's when the baby will come back to chesa mesim, he'll be embarrassed. Other reasons, whatever the different reasons are. But ma'aseh the minig is shalos to remove the orla. So the Halachas Ma'amar Hilchos Mila says that you shouldn't do that on Yontif Sheni, because on Yontif Sheni it's only a minig, this idea of cutting off the orla. So he doesn't think that that's mutter to do in Yontif Sheni. And then Tabuti says he doesn't even think you're allowed to do the whole kvur in Yontif Sheni, because there's no mitzvah kvur in his writing from the bar shematil and bolus and a fall. That's what the Gos Maimni writes. So the Magen Avraham strongly disagrees with this Gos Maimni. The Magen Avraham says, well, how do you see from the fact that he used to throw the nafel into the boy that's not a mitzvah kvura? That was the kvura. Kvura doesn't mean after a nice fancy cemetery with a plot, with a matseva, with a work, with a perpetual care. So you throw it into the ground. That's also considered to be good enough. So the Yemen says that may not be such a good dicha. We'll see in a little while later. But Rav Moshe's famous gimel tvachim business. I remember Rabbi Weil was talking about earlier in the summer that it could be that may very well be the kudus amachlekes the girls maimi and the magen avram, because the Gemara says that they would throw the nafel into the boar, and the Gemara tells a story that afterwards, a Kohen went to go check whether it was a boy or a girl, because it was nafkamina legabi the tumas hayaledes. They want to know how long the mother was tamea for. Was it for 7 days or 14 days? Did you have your meitah or 40 days? So there was a Kohen who went over to go peek over to see whether he was zachar in a keva. So it's on that sugya, the Taisa says, what do you mean the Kohen went to go see? Is it tumas mei? So the whole story. Taisa talks about it. Was it letzarech or not letzarech? The whole story. So you get the impression that when they threw the nafil into the boar, they didn't cover it up with dirt. They just put it into the boar. That was also considered to be kvura. So that's not the parsha. That's called kvura. You just put something in the ground and don't cover it. So we'll have to talk about that a little bit later today. Not too much later. So the Magen Avraham assumes that was also mitzvah kvura. So the Magen Avraham says there's no raya that there's no mitzvah of kvura. So the Magen Avraham, he's a good pun. He dug up a Gemara in Maseches Nida, where the Gemara in Nida says that there's a whole discussion about the kusim, whether the kusim had the practice. The Gemara said the kusim weren't makbet to bury the nephilim. They would just leave the nephilim all around, and that caused the problem of tumah. Because even if there's no mitzvah kvur on the nephil, there's a problem of tumah. The same way we mentioned yesterday with the maduris akum. So the Gemara has a discussion about the kusim. So the Gemara says, why didn't the kusim bury the nephilim? So the Gemara says they dash in the pasuk. Pasuk? What was the pasuk? Because it says, "Lo sasik v'uriyachas sher gavlo rishonim benachalos chasher tinchal." So the Gemara has an interpretation. One of the meanings of that pasuk is about selling a base of kvaras. Lo sasik v'uriyachas, because that's the sher gavlo rishonim, but the people are buried. So the Gemara has such an interpretation of that pasuk. So the kusim held that way. They darshan that tarshu up at their head, and they darshan like this: that the only time you chayef to bury somebody if it's benachalos chasher tinchal, only if it's someone who's royal in achala, since the nafil is not royal the yorish anyway, so therefore it's not included in the mitzvah kvaras. A drasha from the apik. Kursim from the Kusim. So the Magen Avraham says that was a very nice drasha. That's the Apikursim that had that drasha. But we don't drasha in that way. We hold that's ridiculous. That pasuk doesn't mean that. So Memela says the Magen Avraham from the fact that Chazal said the Kusim dash in that way, but we don't dash in that way. That's the implication. So therefore there is a mitzvah kvura. So which is that goes Maimon. He said, no, the Kusim were talking right. One thing they got right. They got this drasha right. So that's a Shaila Machlek is a poskim. What's it there? Is there really a mitzvah kvura or not? So the Magen Avraham has an interesting raya, which is really the same Ryan effect as Rav Moshe had by Eva Minachai. The Magen Avraham says that the Taras Kanim darshens from a pasuk that you're not allowed to be metame for a nefil. They lost a child, so if the child was a nefil, the way we paskin for shloshim yom is even a suffik nefil, so the father who is a kain is not permitted to go to the levaya for a nefil or for a suffik nefil. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, according to Hefter Rishonim, the mitzvah of Tumas Kohanim is linked to Kvura, Taizim Sachem Adav Taz. So why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you're not allowed to go to the base of Kvaras? It's Pasha, because there's no mitzvah Kvura. So is that from that? You see, for me, that the Taka is a mitzvah of Kvura, even on Nefil. That was the Magen Avraham's Raya. So first of all, according to the Rishonim, we'll say that Kvura and Tumas Meis have nothing to do with each other, so it's not a Raya altogether. Or it could be that maybe that pasuk Gufa teaches us that there's no mitzvah Kvura. That's why Taka the Kohen is not allowed to go to the base of Kvaras. So it's not an ironclad Raya. That's the bottom line. To Machlokes the Gros Maimon, the Magen Avraham, others get involved in the Shaila, whether to bury nafil or not. So we try, usually when the baby is stillborn, so the Taka usually do try. If a woman has a miscarriage, it depends on which stage of the miscarriage it is. If it's at a very early stage, so the post can say, that's like mamish nothing, it's usually just the blood, a little bit, that's, but if the baby is older, more advanced in the pregnancy, so then the correct thing to do is to try to bury it, at least misafik, according to the Magen Avraham, there's a mitzvah kvur on that. Those, if for whatever reason, don't. Sometimes people are so tzemisht at that time, they don't realize it. So, okay, so they're relying on the Gos Maimoni, who says that there really is no mitzvah kvura on Nefil. But lechatchila, we try to bury Nefalim also. Here's one last shaila concerning the general mitzvah kvura, and that's the issue of goyim. Is there a mitzvah to bury a goyish mace? Is that included in Kikavitik Brenna Bayamahu? So the Pashup Shad is that not, that mitzvah was only on a Jewish mason. The Gemara says in Gittin, he's supposed to be help out the Goyim, do their Kvarim also, be great, Daka Shalom, yeah, that's true. But in terms of the real bona fide mitzvah, the Raisa Kvura, Pashup says doesn't really exist on a Goyish Mace. However, there's a Ramban, Ala Torah, that has a fascinating comment. The Ramban points out, Ramban learned nothing, so he points out there's a pasuk in Yeshua that says that after Yeshua killed off the Machi Canaan, so he buried there, he hung up their bodies, and he took the bodies off right before Shkia. Right before the end of the day, he took the bodies off, and the obvious implication is that he did that because of the pasuk chumash, because the pasuk says ki kilas lekim tali, he's supposed to take the body down. So the Ramban in effect asks, why did he do that? It was a goyish mace. So the simple reading what the Ramban seems to say is as follows, is that the Pasuk says there's a mitzvah of kvura, and there's an mitzvah of halonos hameis, and there's another din called losatami asad moscha. The Torah says you're not allowed to be mitami eretz yisrael, but leaving meisim around. So the Ramban seems to understand that that mitzvah of losatami asad moscha, that applies to goyish meisim also. It means if I live in New York, so I'm not mechuyev to bury the goyish meis, but if I live in eretz yisrael, and there's a goyish meis lying around, I have to bury him, not off the mitzvah of kvura, but also losatami asad moscha, there's a mitzvah deraisa, so this is deraisa to leave the goyish meisim around, and you have to bury it as soon as possible. So you have to bury it within the Oso Hayom in order to fulfill that mitzvah. So this Ramban is not quoted Lalach and Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say one way or the other about whether there's a mitzvah kvura on Goyim. Pasha says there is none. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the fact that there's a special mitzvah in Eretzol. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Shach, doesn't, nobody on the page in Shulchan Aruch points this out. But the Ramban Lamaisa does say it in his parish on Chumash. So this is a big nafkamina if we would accept this opinion of the Ramban. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later on, hopefully a little bit later today, about the whole issues of doing autopsies and the issue of people in medical school studying meisim. So when a person is studying, is dissecting a meis, so part of what you're doing is not, well, what you're not doing is a mitzvah kvura. It means you have the meis in front of you, and you're working on the meis for the next 6 months, so that's a bit of mitzvah kvura. So the answer is you're not using a Jewish meis, hopefully. Using a Jewish meis is a very, very serious problem for a whole assorted reasons, hopefully we'll get to later. But in terms of the mitzvah kvura, so if it's a goyish meis, so that's not a problem kvura. And in terms of the isur hanos, so maybe it's not a problem. In terms of the nivul meis, maybe it's not a problem. That's what everybody relies on. Everyone who goes to medical school assumes that the mitzvah kvura and all the things which are noveh from the mitzvah kvura don't apply to goyish bodies. The problem is, if you follow this Ramban, so in Eretz Yisrael you have a big problem. So you want to go to Tel Aviv University Medical School, so that would lachar be a problem according to Ramban. That would be an issur deraisa because you have, even though you're using goyish meisim, but there's an issur deraisa loss of time at the muscle. You're not allowed to leave goyish meisim floating around in Eretz Yisrael. So I think the medical schools in Eretz Yisrael make them. I think they pass against the Ramban. They pass against the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody else on the page says such a thing. Remember, Rabbi Shechter made this aura that he doesn't know why someone has a right to be making on this, that there's a shalav of the Araisa. And we don't find any Rishon Beferish say not like the Ramban. We just don't find anyone who says like the Ramban. We don't find anyone who talks about the topic. So you have a Beferish Ramban on a Torah that says something and no one else comments about it. So he's not so sure why there should be grounds lachal. No. I think the Eretz Yisrael make them. I think people go to medical. And Kisei Tzenda passing here. On what? On less than a kazayas? No, even the Tzadikim make one then. Yeah, so very often there's usually more than a kazayas, unfortunately. The blood, yeah, they look for blood. Blood is dama nefesh. So that. What? Etzim kisaor is metame also. No, etzim kisaor is metame, that's true, but then I don't think they're going out tumah. I mean, they're going for every little thing, so if it's more than a kazayas. Okay, yeah. I think they're going for dam, and they're going for a little bit. Kazayis is not so big. Kazayis, we think kazayis is 15 pieces of bread. Kazayis is a kazayis. It's very small. So usually, unfortunately, there are a little... Yeah. I remember I had a mice, I'll talk about this mice a little bit later on the end of the show. Somebody in our community who was hit by a car and was killed. So I remember I had a whole discussion with the police about trying to, they were trying to clean up the site. So they were very respectful in terms of whatever was, but still it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's America. So there was a question about how much blood, was there any real blood left? So I remember I spoke to the people of Chevet Kedisha. So it wasn't, there, so they have all kind of kunsim, of going around with here. It wasn't so easy. So we tried to do our best. At the end of the day, I basically had to believe the nemanus of the policeman who was telling me that they did their best to try to get everything. And afterwards, they had already washed down the lights. It wasn't shach to do anything anymore. So they tried to do whatever. They tried to do their best. But in Eretz Yisrael, they mamish do. They literally go after everything. There was a way apparently to get them someone was explaining to me if you put. I think we put alcohol on something, so the alcohol draws out the blood on the ground or something. Some they were telling me some kind of kunsim that they, I don't know. I'll touch a maven on this.
Why would you want to take the blood out of the ground?
Because anything that's dama nefesh, no, anything that came out the shas misas, that says in the shalom shachar natanz, right? You're supposed to bury that.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's buried already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's buried already. Yeah, you could argue it's buried. Yeah. You could, what? Concrete. And something that's not really buried, it's going to just be washed away when... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, the next topic is Halanas Ameis. Next topic. So the Pasuk says Beferish, Lo Solon, Lo Solon, Lo Solon. So the Torah also says Beferish, He covered Kvurana by Yamahu. Problem is as follows. Even though we assume the Halacha that the Mitzvah's Kvura carries over to regular Mesim also, if you look very carefully at the Lashon HaRambam, you walk away with a very strange conclusion. The Rambam writes that there's a nisa derais of los solim of los wala eitz for other regular mesim, and there's a mitzvah skvura for regular mesim. And when it comes to haruge beis, then the Rambam writes you have to bury the mace by yom hahu to fulfill the mitzvah of kikav dekrena by yom hahu. The Rambam left out those words by yom hahu in discussing shar mesim. You get the impression from the Rambam that for some strange reason, I don't know where the Rambam saw this exactly in the Pesukim or in the Gemaras, the Rambam seems to assume that the mitzvah of kavura applies to shar mesim. The isra of alanas hameisim applies to shar mesim. But that din of kav dekrena by yom hahu, dafka before shkia, somehow that doesn't apply by shar mesim. So even though the Rambam says it came out preferish that way, the Ramban Latar doesn't say that way, and the Sefer doesn't say that way. Many Rishonim disagree with that. They assume that the din of Hashem makes him as mamish, the exact same as for regular relatives. It's fine, nafkamina. You have to bury him anyway. What's the difference? So it's a very big nafkamina. There's a big machlekes apoiskim. This is of Lo Solon of Lo Solon Eitz. So what exactly does that mean? When exactly do you reach the point of a violation of Halanas HaMeis? So the word Lahalin has a very specific context in other areas of halacha. Lo salin pula sochi itcha ad boker. Lo salin ad boker zevachak aposach. Usually the Torah speaks about boker, boker, boker. So maybe lo salin of lo salates also means ad boker. So that's what a whole group of Achronim write. Pesach Tshuva quotes in the side of the Yerdei and Yad Avram. He quotes a collection of Hefti Poskim say one way, Hefti say another way. Hefti Achronim said that lo salin of lo salates mean halana means ad boker. It means as long as, let's say, a person dies Tuesday morning, so you can delay the Levi. You don't have to have the Levi of Tuesday afternoon. You can have the Levi of Tuesday night also. That's also okay. That's not called a violation of Lo Solon. Another Achronim say, no, that when do you say that Halana means Adboker? When it says Adboker in the Chumash. But it doesn't say Adboker, so even Mixas Halana, even Mixas Halana, that's also considered to be Halana. So if you would hold, that, like these Achronim who say that the word Lahalin in the context of Tumas Konim, I'm sorry, in the context of the Mitzvah Kvura, doesn't necessarily mean the beginning of the night, but it really means ad boker. And if you would hold like the Rambam that the mitzvah of kavod dekrena by yom hahu doesn't apply to shar meisim, you come with an interesting kula that if a person dies on Tuesday and there's really no reason you can't have the levaya today, I can have it today. I'm not waiting for anything, but whatever, we're not rushing. We'll have it 10 o'clock at night. That's also okay. So if you put together the Rambam with those achronim, so that would be hetta gomer. So the problem is that we don't pass like that. Could be that we don't pass like the Rambam. Most of the Rishonim probably disagree with the Rambam. Most of the Rishonim said it's the mitzvah asay min haTorah of kav dekrena b'yom hahu. So even though those Achronim may be right that halanas hameis is not violated until the morning, but what do you do with the pasuk? The pasuk says b'yom hahu, and b'yom hahu pashas means before shkia, like it says in Sefer Yoshua. And according to Hefta Achronim, there's mamash a violation deraisa. There's a lav deraisa of lo solin, and that's even mitzvah halal is a problem. So therefore, la halacha, we try as best as possible to do the kavura mibi el yom. The person dies early on in the daytime, so then we try to have the kavura during the day as best as possible. If for whatever reason you can't have it by day, so then the next best thing is to have it that night, because to have it at night, at least you're going to solve the problem of, according to Hefta Achronim, of being in violation of lo solon of lo solon eitz. If you're able to have it at night and you don't, so that, according to many, many Achronim, that may be an issa deraisa of lo solon of lo solon eitz. The problem is, once again, we have a chiluk between America and Eretz Yisrael in this one. Now in America, we have this institution called the Grave Diggers Union. So the grave diggers will not work after 4 o'clock. That's why you go all of our basic kvarasim. So they're basically closed, unless they're the Chassidish ones that have their own story. But most of the regular basic kvaras, so that's it. You can't have a levi after 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it is. So to have a kavura at night is going to be in a regular, quote-unquote modern basic kvaras is not going to be a viable option. Eretz Yisrael, do whatever you want. Eretz Yisrael in Ochanam, everyone who's ever been in at Levi's in Eretz Yisrael, so your mom is having 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember I was at, I think it was Rivlin's father, I'm not mistaken. I think. think if I'm not mistaken, I think it was one of Reuven's parents. So it was Mamash Levaya, it was Nifta on Shabbos, and they had Levaya and Matzoy Shabbos, and Mamash 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyone been in a Levaya in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the night? They are this Mamash like right out of the horror movies, because there's no lights there. They walk like with one little flashlight leading the way, and you're walking through the cemetery. The wind is, it was the middle of the winter time. The wind is howling. It's on Hashar Menuchos, and you're afraid you're going to end up in one of the Kvarim, and it's mamish spooky stuff. Anyway, but that's one. And there's no Aron, so that makes things even more Labor Dick. Opposite, so. So anyway, it's a pretty scary experience. Yeah. Only here, so. So, in America, we try as best as we can to do the kavura. Maybe I'll jump if you can't. What heter do we ever have to delay a kavura? So the Mishnah says that sometimes you're allowed to delay a kavura if it's halaneo lechvodo. If you're delaying the kavura lechavod ameis, that's okay. How did Chazal know that? So the pasuk in effect says it, because the pasuk says lo solim v'los laid ki kilas alekim tala, because it's a bizoyin ameis. It's a bizoyin for the Rebbeinu Shalom, bizoyin ameis for the ameis to be left around. So the pasuk say obviously Chazal understood that this is not a shad of dashi in time of the kura. Here the Torah says beferish that it's only an issa when it's b'taras kilas alekim, when it's b'taras bizoyin. But if it's not a bizoyin ameis, so then it's there's no then the issa of lo solim v'los laid doesn't apply. So the two examples that the Mishnah gives in terms of kavan ameis are. Or lahavilo aron v'tachrichim. Those are pretty serious stuff. Aron, okay. If you're burning against the berg with an aron, tachrichim, that's pretty important. So that's lechavod hameis. So even though the Mishnah doesn't give other examples, the Maseches Machos saves the day and gives a few other examples. Maseches Machos says that you're allowed to be melon as hameis if a krovim to come, the relatives to come. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that straight after the Maseches Machos. The Ramban quotes from the Maseches Machos that letzara for the relatives to come, that's also considered to be a greater kavod hameis. Nevertheless, there is one of the Charanim writes that he thinks what that means is as follows. Let's say you have a meis buried. The guy dies, let's say, the guy dies in Florida. And so there's no relative around whatsoever. And it's not much all strangers around. So to bury the person without any relatives at all, that's a bizayin ameis. Let's say one of the relatives is there, and the other one is on his way from, he's coming from Australia. It's going to take him another 3 days till he gets here. So that's not such a bizayin ameis to bury someone with only part of some of his relatives here. So mistama, that's not considered to be such a bizayin ameis. So I think the Divrei Sofer writes that he thinks that even if you should accept, I think it's the Divrei Malkiel who has that chumrah, even if you accept that chiddush, so b'medavar mamurim, he thinks that's for other relatives, not for children. He says children, by definition, that's considered to be a kavanah meis for all the children to be present at the time of the levaya. Mistam, what that achron meant was the guy has 5 siblings. One of his siblings isn't going to make it to the levaya. Okay, so that's not the end of the world. That's not such a tremendous kavanah meis. But she ain't going to say that two of the children are out of town, so it doesn't matter. We're going to have the levaya anyway. That's chayim lecha lack of kavanah meis godem. That's what he writes. He thinks the din should be, and he writes kimadum li shekei nagu. That's what the minhag is. I think he's right. That's kimadum li shekei nagu. That we assume la halacha that one is permitted to delay a levaya lechavod a meis in the sense of making sure that the relatives come, and primarily having all the children come. That's for sure considered to be a lechavod a meis. There was once a particular rav told me that. That there's a chiluk between sons and daughters. That he thought that I don't know who, somebody had said this, that the sons to come because the sons to Kaddish, so that's considered to be more. I'm not so convinced that should be a chiluk whatsoever. I think that the Kaddish is irrelevant to this. That means it's kavod ameis. That's kavod ameis, that all the children should be present at the levaya. That's a tremendous kavod ameis. The mistam of the meis would be very upset if he knew that, if he does know that is that some of his children aren't there. That's a tremendous bizayin ameis, I think, especially bizman hazeh. We had the svar also by Rav Moshe earlier on about aninus. We had the svar about in the olden days where it wasn't considered such a bizayin not to travel. People didn't travel for anything. Bizman hazeh, people are traveling every shen v'chamish. Everyone's flying all over the world. So now to say that some of the children, the daughter is not going to be at the levaya. So the chayim lecha bizayin ameis godem is, I think, bizman hazeh, people fly so for all other occasions. So I don't know, lefini is daiti, that if the children can't come to the levaya, that's any of the children, those are sufficient grounds to hold up a levaya. And maybe one can argue siblings also, that bizman hazeh, I don't know, I'm not sure that svar, that divrei malkiel is so mukhrach that everybody accepts that either. So I don't know, I think that most of the time, the olam is noig to hold up the children for sure, and I don't know, maybe for other relatives one can argue that's also considered to be more of a covenant makes to hold up the Leviathan. What about for other types of reasons which are not the covet hamase per se, but are more covet hachayim oriented? So this was a big machlekes apelskim. Let's say the real reason why you want to hold up the levaya is because it's going to be embarrassment for you, not so much necessarily the covet hamase. So this was a shaila. It's really based on a gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin. The gemara has a shaila about a hesped. The Gemara says, "What do you do a hesped for? Is a hesped l'chavod hameis, or is a hesped l'chavod ha'chayim, l'chavod ha'mishpacha, something?" So the Gemara wants to bring a raya. The Gemara says that the din is that you're allowed to delay a levaya in order to have a masped. That's also called l'chavod hameis. L'havilo mekononos. That's okay. So the Gemara says, "How can you do that? If you hold that a hesped is covered hameis, then I understand. But if you hold that hesped is covered ha'chay, so then what gives you a right to delay the levaya?" So the Gemara says, no, Kavod HaChai is also a matir. That's also a good enough of a svarta. That's also considered to be sufficient grounds. So the Yehuda writes that svar that the Gemara said, that unbelievable chiddush, that Kavod HaChai is also a matir to delay levaya. So says the Yehuda, that was said al atzad, that hesped is Kavod HaChai. But we happen to paskin, says the Yehuda, that hesped is Kavod HaMeis. Because we paskin, if a person says, don't be maspid me, then you have to listen to him. If he says, don't bury me, then you don't listen to him. But he says, don't be maspid me, then you do listen to him. So comes the Rebbe and says, La halacha, that we hold that hesped is covered amesim. So then the fact that the halacha is that you're allowed to lay a levaya of l'tzarech a hesped, that's not a raya that covered a chayim anymore, is enough of a tzarech. I mean, that whole raya that some achronim wanted to bring from was in the tzad of the gemara that we don't pass in the halacha. So the Rebbe leaves the tzarech and he's not sure what the din is. So the answer is, I think that there's a beferish a rashba that's making the shayla. It's a rashba that we spoke about earlier on in the summer. Remember? Remember we spoke about Halanas and Mace, Derech Agav, about the Misha Mace, Avashal Chosin, Mimashal Kala. So the Rashba held that the case of Misha Mace, Avashal Chosin, Mimashal Kala, you don't want to bury the person that day. You bury him that day, you can have a Yom Miso Kvura. So when do you bury him? So you bury him the next day. So the Rashba asked himself, I am Melanas and Mace. So the Rashba says, no, that's not an Issa of Melanas and Mace, because you're doing it to prevent the relative from experiencing a Bizoyan. The Bizoyan is going to be this wedding day, he's going to be sitting on the floor, sitting Shiva on his wedding day, because it's going to be Yom Miso Kvura. So that's also Mutter. So the Rashba uses that Lashon, Shalo Yisbaza Krovo. That means, you're not doing something mace-oriented. You're not bringing Oron. You're not bringing Tachrichim. You're not having relatives come to the Levaya. You're not bringing someone to say Hesped. You're doing something which is purely Chai-oriented. And the Rashba says, that's also okay. So maybe it's Mechalek Zerishon. Maybe the reason why Rashi didn't say that, Rashi says you have to be cover the mace, mamash miyad. Maybe Rashi held that Yom Misa Kvur is only the Rabbanan, and so there's no tzarech to delay it, or maybe Rashi disagreed with that svar. So I don't know, so that's an open question somewhat. Where do you draw the line? At what point do you say that it's not exactly Kavod HaMeis, but Af Al Pi Kein, it's still an important reason to delay the Levaya.
Didn't we say that when we had the Rashba that it was Shloi Spazik Kvur, that really, that was what the Meis would want?
Right, so the question is that's what the Rashi seems to be saying, but then Rabbi Huda is suggesting that maybe that's not enough. That it's not just enough that the mace wants it, but it has to be something which is clearly a covet for the mace himself. So here, covet chayim types of things means that it's something the mace would probably like it. Maybe he would like it. If he would have asked him before he died, maybe he would say it's okay. But it's not really chvodo, so is that really included in the heter? The shaila basically is how to understand this din, because the Torah says, you're not allowed to be maleness the mace derech nivel, derech bizoyon. And therefore, we darshan that hanel chvod was mutter. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you need chvod hameis to be matter? Or do you say that whenever it's not derech nivel, that's also mutter? It means stop the delay levaya for no reason whatsoever. That's a problem. But anytime you're delaying it for some tremendous tzarech, so that's not really derech nivel. It means you're putting the mace aside for a little while because you have other kavod chayim things which are... And kavod chayim is doich kavod hameis. I mean, other areas of halacha, there is a difference between kavod chayim and kavod hameis. I don't know, that's a somewhat of an open question. The Pesach Tshuva quotes a whole series of interesting shilas that I don't think in today's world we would be into these types of things anymore, at least in our communities. That in terms of, let's say like this, the Gemara says that if a person dies and is buried Friday afternoon right before Shabbos, that's a very good thing, because then the neshama goes straight to the Gan Eden. There's lack of chibur hakever, and these are things already which are beyond the scope of pure halacha. So the Pesach Tshuva then quotes from the Radvaz that says, let's say somebody died on Thursday, so the karav is a cheshbon like this, lomdash cheshbon. He doesn't want to bury the karav today, because if I bury the relative today, then he's going to have to suffer for 24 hours till the first Shabbos comes. So we'll be mailing us a mace in order to bury him tomorrow, 5 minutes before Shkia, we'll bury him. So therefore, we'll go right into Gan Eden. So can you make such a cheshbon? Is that called That's Letzarech HaMeis. I'm trying to save the guy 24 hours of I don't know what. So comes the Radvaz and says, he doesn't think that that's called Kavanah Meis. That's already too esoteric. That's already too mystical. That's not Kavanah Meis. Kavanah Meis means an Aron, Techrich, and things like that. And then the Pesach Yeshiva says, to boot, in the name of the Radvaz, he says that, and I'm not even sure it's going to work, he says, that. But you're allowed to play games with the Rebbeinu Shlomo Chashbainus, that's gonna, because you're gonna play a kunz, you're gonna bury the mace 24 hours, that's gonna save him. He doesn't know that, so he's too spakers. He's not sure it's gonna work, and even him Shlomo, it's gonna work. He's not sure what it's mutter to do. So I don't know, so the Bizmanos that we usually don't have such a funny wild Chashbainus. So we assume there's gotta be either some real bona fide cover a mace, or at least some significant cover to Chaim, which would be a Machalikis of Elskim, whether that's good enough also. Then fill her up. Only halfway done. Not even halfway done. We didn't even finish Halos HaMeis yet. That's some more to go. There are a couple of other things in terms of Halos HaMeis. That's as follows. There's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma of all places in Aruba that says that Eim Alidinas HaMeis B'Yerushalayim. The Gemara quotes a price that lists off all the unique statuses in Halacha of Yerushalayim. So one of the unique statuses of Yerushalayim is that Eim Alidin Ba'as HaMeis. So the Gemara says, how do you know that's true? The Gemara says it's a tradition, Halacha Mashab Sinai, whatever it is, that we don't do it. Gemara never says what the Makor is. So I think Rabbi Kivega there points out that there's a Zohar or something that gives a reason. I don't know what it says in the Zohar exactly. But there's some reason out there what Emelina must have made. So the Shita Mekubetzes on that Suya asks Akasha, what do you mean Emelina Sameis Bishalayim? Emelina Bosa Meis in Kololim Kulo. There's a deraisa, Lasson and Losolaitza, Manishtani Bishalayim. So says the Shita Mestabur, it means like this, that even those cases where it's mutta to be Melina Sameis, are Ilchvodo, so that's also in Yushalayim. There's some unique din of conditions in Yushalayim that asks all types of Alana Sameis whatsoever. This is like similar a little bit to the Ramban, that the din of Alana Sameis in Eretz Yisrael are more chomer than the rest of the world, like it makes Akam is also. So in Yushalayim, it's like more Kedusha. The higher Kedusha you get, the more you got to get rid of the Tumah. So normally there's a heter of Leo Lechvodo, but in Yushalayim, that heter doesn't exist. So we pass in Lach, the later Poskim Reich, that's how we accept the Lach like this Shita Mekubetzes. The only thing is, the Poskim, the Geshur Chaim writes about this. He says that Mestama, that means in the old city of Yerushalayim, that means the Mokom, which was Mekudesh originally in Yerushalayim. So any base of Kavaris, which is not technically part of the old original Kedush of Yerushalayim, really shouldn't be bound by this. Let's say Har Menuchos. Har Menuchos is not, with Har Zeisim is part of the, well, I mean, it's in the old city. It's outside of the walls, no?
Yeah,
it's outside of the walls. Yeah. I don't know those walls. I don't know what the official walls are. The stomach, it's not really part of, I don't know.
There's the problem with Alana in the cemetery or in
Yerushalayim. No.
Saying, let's say the mace died in the old city, it's been buried outside Yerushalayim.
Right, so that would be a problem, right? You would have to take the mace out of the old city. I don't know. Yeah, but then you can't bring it back in to bury it in Yerushalayim. I don't think we bury anywhere in the old quote unquote old.
The walls are only like 400 years old.
Yeah, those walls don't necessarily correspond. Right. Yeah. See, I don't know. I'm not sure. So in Yerushalayim, they're very makpid in this about Madlinus and Mace, but it could be that it's not pure pi aloch. It could be more of an extension, a little bit of this idea. So again, even though in theory they're very makpid in this. The person somehow you're able to maneuver enough, you're able to finagle Hanel Chvoda even in Yerushalayim also Bizman Hazeh, because it's not a real din of Melina Sabes and a Melina Sabes Yerushalayim, the classic example that the Gemara was talking about. There is a famous Tshuva Chassam Sofer that we alluded to. I think I mentioned this on the Shabbos Shiur when I spoke after davening in the office over there. So there was a famous Tshuva Chassam Sofer about the government edict about not burying people right away. That apparently what happened was that they buried somebody and then he walked out. He got up in the middle of his own levaya. He said it was Gvaldik, Murdik. That great story. Please keep it out of the. It was a fun day today. Yeah, we got to finish eventually. So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Shuva that what tackle one time it happened that a person was buried and or was about to be buried and he had chesmesim. He woke up and he said he was never really dead. So because of that, apparently they passed laws in Germany that you're not allowed to bury somebody until 3 days pass after the death. So this was a big problem. It was the Chinister of Halanas Ameis. So there was a certain Rav who wrote a whole Tshuva to try to defend this practice, say that they were talking right, that the German government was in fact right. Anyone knows who wrote this tshuva? Reish Mem Dalet, sorry. Reish Mem Dal. Reish Mem Dal. What does that stand for? It was Moshe Dessauer. It was Moses Mendelssohn who wrote that. Who wrote this letter? So the Chassam Sofer gave him a lot of respect. He called Vachochem Reish Mem Dal. Moshe Dessauer was Moses Mendelssohn at the time. He was a very, of course, very controversial figure. So he wrote a whole contrast trying to defend this German law and saying that they were 100% right, and Apialach, we have to listen to them because it's a Safik Pikuach Nefesh. And he brought a riot from Masechus Machos, as everyone else brings riots from. So it says in Masechus Machos that they used to have a practice when they would bury people, that for the first 3 days afterwards, they would go and knock on the door to go see whether they would hear anything. So you see that they were nervous about this, that it was a realistic thing, that sometimes people were really alive. So the Chassam Sofer writes that he thinks that it's absolutely wrong. He quotes Rav Yaakov Emden, also wrote a tshuva saying that this is crazy, this is off the wall, that true, it says in Masechus Machos that they used to knock on the door. He says, because they used to bury in Kuchim. So they would bury in Kuchim, so they did not bury the person because of that. They buried the person, and then they would knock on the door. But it's not as that. We bury under the ground. We don't bury in the sides of the cave like they used to do in days gone by. So what are you going to do? You're going to knock on the grave. No one's going to hear you. So comes the. Although there was somebody told me that they, somebody mamish told me that they dropped the cell phone into the kever, and they were too embarrassed to take it out. So I think they realized it afterwards. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says that. Comes the Chassam Sofer and says that we don't find that Masechus Machos says that you're allowed to violate Kvuras HaNeis in order to this Chashash Sakana, that maybe all the Masechus Machos says if you're already buried in Kedasuk Adin and there's an Eitz to go knock on the door, so knock on the door for the next 3 days. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says that he thinks that this is going to be Mamish and Nisid Deraisa, Mamish and Lonus HaNeis. Aye, it's a Psafik Pikuach Nefesh. Oh, this Mamish came. Oh, the Nisid came. Unbelievable. Well. Wow, Mamash. You're a Federal Express. Regular mail, wow. So what do you do with it? You know, we'll start on the next. We're going to finish this topic in a second. We'll start on the next topic. I mean, this is Mamash the last 2 seconds. Yeah, Mavakin is a like from, yeah. The odds are that for 12 hours or so, by the time they get around to doing the tower and everything, they get him inside the cavern, inside the oven and everything, so it's highly unlikely. They tell us, there's some stories. I saw one of the swarm writes that the ones when they opened up a cavern, they had to remove the mace or something. Years later, wasn't it? Yeah, something else, another religion. They opened up the kever and they found that this is a very gory story. They found that the aron was all that the body and the aron was all bloody, and the person was not buried that way. The person was buried, normal person. Clearly, the person had woken up and was trying to get out, and couldn't get out. It says in one of the svarim. Anyway, so the Chassam Sofer writes. So Chassam Sofer writes, how many times did all these stories happen? We hear them a lot because they're pretty exciting stories. But tachas, a lot of people are buried. Maybe it happens more often, we just don't know about it. But says Chassam Sofer, from the stomach, it doesn't happen that often. So he writes, Echad le'elof shanim, such a story, such a crazy Mishnah story should happen. So he says, Echad le'elof shanim is not called Psafik Pikuach Nefesh. That's what we spoke about in that Shabbos here. Pikuach Nefesh has to be some degree of reality. It doesn't have to be a robe. It doesn't have to be a Safik HaShokol. It has to be a meal. It's got to be some degree of reality. So it's funny because Rabbi Shechter quotes this. He always quotes Echad Mine Elef. That's not. It doesn't say one in a thousand chances. Some sort of says once in a thousand years. So I don't know whether that, some others have that lashon of Echad Mine Elef. But that's not what some sort of writes. He writes that something that happens once in a thousand years, that's not called even a Safik Pikuach Nefesh. So Chassam Sofer writes that you can't assume that this government decree is good for the Jews, it's bad for the Jews. What do you do with it? Okay, so then you have to figure out if you want to break the law, you know, whether you think that's a good idea. So that's your decision. But in terms of advocating this Api Alacha, so he says that he thinks that B'Mechilas covered of Moses and Mendelssohn, he thinks that he was absolutely wrong Api Alacha. He thinks Rav Yaakov Emden was right, and he has a long tirade against how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew this. that people sometimes echad min yalef, if it happens. And Alpha Bichain, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave a mitzvah of losol and of losol eis, he covered the grana b'yom ahu. So if the Rebbeinu Shalom knew this is going to happen, he still gave us a mitzvah kvura. So he didn't want us to make this cheshbonus after 3 days, maybe the person is still alive. So then he writes, and we only follow what it says in Torah Steinu HaKadosha and the Masaira, and you know, this is just a side thing. And he writes, and we all know that the definition of Misa is kol hashem nishmas ruach chayim v'apav, as Gemara says in Yuma. When the cessation of breathing, when the person, you look and you see the person's not breathing anymore, you wait a few minutes, the pulse can say, just to make sure that the guy's not in some, you know, state of shock or something, that you're not catching the breathing, it's very shallow. If you look and you see 20 minutes, the half hour, you see it is that the person is not breathing, so finish, that's the halacha. And he writes, how did Chazal know it? Either they had halacha Moshe Messina, or they had a Kabbalah back to Adam Harishon, or whatever it came from, that's the Shia, Chayt, Layav, everybody knows that that's true. That's, and the breathing. Okay, then you can have a further machlokes apostkim. What if you have end of breathing in some other ways? I mean, the person's breathing, but the question is that called him breathing? Is that called the machine breathing? If his apparatus that usually controls breathing in his brain is no longer functioning anymore, so that's a machlokes. Is that also called kol hashem nishmas ruach chayim biapav, no longer biapav? That's already way beyond the scope of things right now. I don't think we should talk about that at this moment, but those who are interested can read all the books about it. Anyway, so that's the famous tshuva Chassam Sofer about this topic in terms of Alanis Anais. Okay, I guess we'll start the third year. Third year is assorted issues relating to Kavura. And Yadim showed them little bits and pieces here and there that we couldn't put into a whole topic in of itself, so we'll put it all together. There is a statement in Maseches Machos that Ein Kovidus HaMesim Zebetzad Zeh. You're not supposed to put two Mesim, well, literally, you have to. You're going to have Zeb and Tad Zeb. You're not allowed to have two Mesim, presumably in the same kever. That's considered to be a problem. So the Maseches Machos doesn't give a shear in terms of how close can Mesim be. Maybe there's no shear. Maseches Machos just says that you're not allowed to be Kovim Mamish, two people literally together with each other. So there is a sugi in Baba Basra, which we've quoted the sugi a little bit, when the sugi of Kuchin, the Mishnah, the sugi in the end of the middle of Baba Basra of Kuf, which speaks about the derech of kvarim in the olden days. So the Mishnah discusses when you sell a basic mokom lasos kever to somebody, so how much room do you have to give him in order to build kvarim? So the Mishnah there speaks about how much room each kever is going to be and how much room in between kvarim has to be present. So the Mishnah basically quotes Machlekes Atanaim. So the Tanakhama says that you have to cheshbon out when you sell in this field. So the Minhag HaMedin is you have to cheshbon out that between the kvarim, let's say for argument's sake he's going to buy an area of 16 kvarim, so you have to make a cheshbon that between each kever there has to be an amma. Why does there have to be an amma between each kever? So that's we know that an amma is six tvachim. So simple math tells us that maybe what the Gemara is telling us is that each mace requires three tvachim of its own ground in order to be an acceptable kvura. That's what the Mishnah quotes such an opinion. Then the Mishnah quotes a second opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamlio, who says that no hakol lefi asela, that there is no shear in terms of exact dirt in between the two kvarim. You have to make sure that each kever remains as a separate, distinct kever. So if the ground is very weak, so if you don't have enough room in between, so you bury the person, and then the kvarim are going to collapse one into another, so you're going to be stuck with, in effect, being burying the person in two people in the same kever. So therefore, Shimon Gamliel says it depends on the quality of the ground. If it's strong, solid ground, then you don't need six tvachim necessarily between the two. Even a four tvachim maybe is good enough. And if it's very weak ground, then maybe you need more. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim between Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that machlokes Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel was in the sugya in Bava Basra, concerning the Dinimamidus, the Ramban in Teresa Adam put that sugya together with this Dinim Maseches Machos and says, that which the Maseches Machos says, you're not allowed to be kovar two mason next to each other. So what's the shear? Says the Ramban, Mestama the shear is, different Torah, Adim B'machlechad, Rashim B'machamachem. Mestama that sugya in Bava Basra is Magalatas. What is the shear? So according to Tanakhama, the shear is six tvachim. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the shear, there is no shear. The shear is just that the ground should be strong enough that the kvarim don't collapse one into another. So comes the Ramban and says, how should we paskin lahalacha? So the Ramban seems to say that we paskin Rav Shimon Gamliel, because the Ramban concludes this thing by saying, therefore, when you bury two people near each other, you have to make sure that the kvarim aren't going to fall one into another. He seems to be following the cloud we mentioned yesterday, halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel b'mishnah, saying that we follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, generally speaking, when he appears in a Mishnah. So at the end of the day, the Ramban did put those two halachas together, and the Ramban says in effect a kolafi hasela that depends on the quality of the ground. One could disagree with Ramban. Maybe we pass like Tanakama. Maybe this is not the right Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe we pass like the Tanakama, because we mentioned yesterday in the shir that there are different Rav Shimon Gamliels, and the klal of halacha Shimon Gamliel b'mishnah sein only applies to one of them. So it's hard to tell. There is no bar pluk. It's just a Tanakama. So it's hard to tell who he was. So maybe one could argue that we should pass like the Rav Yechav Ram Lachar Ram, and we should pass like the Tanakama. So the problem is that the Shulchan Aruch left this entire story out. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodei Nuchas Kvura quotes the din of the Maseches Machos that ain't kovrim two people in the same kever, and he doesn't say anything about how much of a hevdel is supposed to be between the kvarim. He doesn't say six tvachim, he doesn't say three tvachim, he doesn't say a kolafis, he doesn't say anything. So what exactly is going on? So Rav Moshe claims in a tshuva that what the Shulchan Aruch means is like this. The Shulchan Aruch understood that this din in Baba Basra has absolutely nothing to do with this din in Chos Kvura. In terms of Chos Kvura per se, the din is you're not allowed to marry two people, mamish plop, one and one together in the same hole. That's a chabizayin hameis. But in terms of having a shir to be mechal, to be mavda between the two, there is absolutely no shir whatsoever. So what's the Gemara in Baba Basra talking about? The Gemara is talking about a kol afi minag ha-medina. The Mishnah is describing what the minag ha-makom is, what the din ha-mamlet. It's understood if I buy a place for 16 gemarim, so it's understood that I want to have an area to be able to bury them nice and cover the away. But in terms of mitzvahs kvura, this is irrelevant. They do nechos kvura. Nechos kvura, you do whatever you want, as long as you don't throw two mace mamish into the same hole. So comes a Ramesha and says, this is a din chashe mishpat. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch, chashe mishpat, happens to quote it when he talks about the din of Meicha Beisa Kvara, so then he quotes it. But when it comes to Yeradei, when he's talking about the Issa Mehete, what to do in terms of Mitzvah Kvara, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word about it. So Ramesha thinks, even though notwithstanding the fact that the Shulchan Aruch left it out, Ramesha claims he thinks that most of the Rishonim held that it was right. He thinks that most of the Rishonim held that Mishnah Baba Basra does affect Hilchas, the mitzvah in terms of Yerodeh, Hilchasis Behet in terms of Kvura. And then to Erech Umrah, Moshe says that, and he thinks that most of the Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. He quotes a Rashbam, he quotes other Rishonim who say that we pass like the Tanakhama, that the Shir is six Tvachim, Chayk Velo Yavar, not because the Ramban seemed to understand, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's a technical problem, that you don't want the Kvurim to fall apart. No, Rav Moshe, it's not a technical problem, it's a halachic problem. You know what the halacha is? You need six tvachim between two mesim. You know why, says Rav Moshe? For a very simple reason, because each mace gets three tvachim of its own. Why mehechit takes a three tvachim, where does three tvachim come from? So either it could be a halachic shev lavut, maybe related somewhat, that's considered to be the makom of the mace, or maybe it's not so much based on lavut, but there's a sugi in Baba Basra that says when you dig a pit, so a chofer bor b'tzad chatzah shechaveros, so you have to be careful to give three tvachim because the walls of a bar are three tvachim. That was the normal standard of a chafira. In order for it to be a unit in and of itself, it has to have a little bit of a width, a little bit of a wall around it. So Rav Moshe writes that apidin, each mace is entitled to three tvachim on all sides. So mamele, the din is when you cover some mace there, b'tzad there, you have to be machik six tvachim. So each mace gets its own official halachic kever, or else you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah kfura properly. So there are really three different permutations in halacha. Either you can take what it says in Shulchan Aruch, who doesn't quote the whole story, or like the Ramban, who quotes it but says that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, or you can take what Rav Moshe claims is the Rov HaRishonim, that you need six tvachim because you need three tvachim per kever. Then the second din that appears in Maseches Machos, which I have not found in Maseches Machos, it may appear in another version of Maseches Machos. I don't know, the Ramban quotes it from Maseches Machos, but I saw somebody has a lashon b'mechot achrite. I don't know, maybe there's part of Maseches Machos that we don't have. That this also appears in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to be kovar as a mesim zeh al gabe zeh. You have two kvarim, one on top of another. That's also considered to be inappropriate. And how much of a hevdel do you have to have between the two? So here the Ramban is very strange. Here the Ramban writes you have to have three tvachim between the two. So the Beis Yosef says three tvachim. Where does three tvachim come from? Says the Beis Yosef, no, you need six tvachim between the two. So some say maybe that's what the Ramban meant also. He meant three per mace. It's unclear what the Ramban says. So here, the Shulchan Aruch says you need six tvachim a break when you're bearing zel al gabe zel. So comes the Moshe and says, where does that come from? So comes the Moshe and says, depends. According to the Shulchan Aruch who holds that there is no din of three tvachim being a definition of a keva per se. Harai, you can bury zel, eitzel zel, even if say half an inch away. So says the Moshe, the Stam the Shulchan Aruch held, this is a special, unique din of covered a mace. It's not right. You should have one mace, mamish, plopped on top of the other one, that's not a covenant mace. So therefore, you have to have a shear of a hevdel. So the Rabban says three tvachim. The Shulchan Aruch says you need six tvachim in terms of a hevdel. But says Rav Moshe, what would the Shulchan Aruch say? Let's say, for example, you're not burying another mace on top. Let's say you just want to bury one mace, only one level. So you take a mace, you put him in the hole, and then you cover it up with a half a tefach of dirt. So would that be okay? So says the Rav Moshe, according to Shulchan Aruch, maybe that'll be all right, because it's not a din that kvura requires three tvachim. Haraya, the Shulchan Aruch says kvura doesn't require three tvachim in the other directions, so mishtamet doesn't require three tvachim with dirt on top either. The only time the Shulchan Aruch insists on six tvachim, three per mace, that's when you have one on top of another. That's a special din of covenant mace. But comes Rav Moshe and says, but lididi, that I hold against the Shulchan Aruch, I hold like what he claims as a ruba, the ruba, the rishonim, that the definition of a kever means it's got to be three tvachim below and three tvachim on the side and three tvachim on the top, and it's got to be three tvachim chayk below yavar on top, even if there's no mace on top. That's called kvura. That kvura by definition means that the mace is kavur in a kever, and a kever means like a boar, it's got to be three tvachim on the bottom and three tvachim on the sides. And in order to be called a mace kvura, you require a bare minimum of three tvachim underneath. Comes Rav Moshe and says, and those three tvachim have to be into the ground. Maybe like this. Let's say you want to dig up, say, half a tefach in, and to put a mace in and just plop dirt on top of the mace. So Rav Moshe says, that's not called a kavura. That's called putting a mace on the ground and putting dirt on him. A kavura means that he's kavur bikarka. So how deep must the kever go? So Rav Moshe says, you have to dig the grave mitchila, a minimum of three tvachim, deep into the ground, three tvachim below ground level, and then put the dirt on top of the mace. And then and only then is that considered to be a kavura. So Rav Moshe has a chum against the Shulchan Aruch, against the Pashas of the Ramban, and the Rav Moshe claims that's the Ikar Adin, that you have to have three tvachim on the sides, and three tvachim on top, and three tvachim deep into the ground, or else that's not considered to be a kvura whatsoever. So usually with Banazet, it's not so hard to do that. Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to do that. We're not so tight in terms of basic kvaras. The Bishchachuva quotes from the Shvuz Yaakov, that this was a very, very serious problem in Europe. In Europe, they didn't have room for anybody. We know the Goyim would, if they were lucky, the Goyim would charge them millions of dollars to buy a little small marshal plot of land outside the city to have a basic kvaras there. And the reality was, if you had a Jewish community that was around for long enough, so you ran out of room. So what do you do? So the Olim used to bury on top. So they would chacham in a barov. So the first people who would die, so they would bury them deep in, so they would have enough room to bury to have the hevdel of six tavachim. So then the Shvus Yaakov writes, and sometimes you couldn't even do that. Sometimes they just couldn't. It was metzias. It wasn't possible. So what are you going to do? So you're not going to bury people. You're going to leave them around. So the post can say, lays brera. So all these shiurim, all these things. If you don't tell like Rav Moshe, for sure none of these things are ma'akev. And a stomach, even like Rav Moshe, it's better than nothing. I mean, what are you going to do? So you have to do the best that you can. So that's what the poskim say, that if you have room in a basic forest like we have today, so then you have to build a basic forest properly. You have to have you should have six tvachim between each kever. And when you bury somebody, you should go at least three tvachim into the ground and fill it up with three tvachim of dirt. That's the correct way to do it. If you no room, so you do whatever you can do, you do. There is another din in terms of kvura that appears also in Masechah Sanhedrin, in the Sugya Paruge Beis Din, where the Mishnah tells us they used to have two batik kvaras in the Sanhedrin. One was for the Niskalon and the Nisrafin, one was for the Nechnochim and the Haragin. Why was that? Because the Niskalon and the Nisrafin, those are much more serious aveiras than Nechnochim and the Haragin. So therefore, the din is that Ein Kovrin Tzadik Eitzel Rasha, and Ein Kovrin Rasha Eitzel Rasha Chomer Mimenu. That means you're not allowed to, you have to bury people who are basically in the same league. But to bury a Tzadik next to a Rasha, that you're not allowed to do. And even to bury people who are clearly greater Tzadik than somebody else, you're not supposed to do either. What's the mocha for this? So the Gemara seems to say it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Paskin Rus alludes to this. When Rus tells Naomi, Basher Tamusi Amus Vishame Kaver, so the Gemara dashes on that she was makabel upon herself that if she'll be chai Mrs. Bazin, she'll be killed. And she was makabel upon herself that she'll be buried. Rev the Bazin tells her they want to bury her. She's also accepting that. So the Gemara seems to say that's a din deraisa. So we pass like that in Shulchan Aruch, says in Shulchan Aruch Beferish, that Ein Kovin Rasha Eitzel Tzadik. So this is a big problem sometimes in the basic forest. They usually don't give tzitzis checks, no pun intended, but usually don't check to see how big tzaddikim people are. So a person is supposed to try. It's a tough, very tough type of a situation. But a person is really supposed to try to arrange that he's in a chelka, he's in an area where people are Shomer Shabbos. We're not such, giving people, such bechinas to see who is such a zabbi, but at least the person should be a basic Shomer Torah mitzvah. that a person is not really supposed to be buried next to someone who is not a Shomer Torah mitzvah. That's really this din. That's Pasha is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So this is a problem. This you have this problem a lot in the basic verses today because Kesef Yanes Hakol. So a person buys a chelka in the basic verse. So what do you buys a plow? What are you going to do? So I think we're supposed to do. We're supposed to not take them in. But sometimes the people who are running the show are not necessarily the greatest, Shomer Torah mitzvahs either. So Rabbi Isha has a few interesting tshuvas about this. He has a famous tshuva about the person who was a Jewish woman who was a Christian scientist. So part of their avodah zarah is that they don't go to doctors. So surprisingly, the woman died. So she was. The question was, are you permitted to bury her in the basic vara? So the pasht is ein lecha rasha gal minis. Mam shenov beres avodah zarah. Muma kaifel kol tar kula. So are you permitted to bury her in the basic vara, or at least basic vara? So next to a regular kibbutz Yisrael, she was Jewish. Yeah, she was Jewish. So Ramosha quotes. There was a certain rabbi who sent Ramosha the shaila. So he tried to convince Ramosha why he thought it would be okay. So he sent to Ramosha two svaras lokal. So he said one svar was that the woman was a shaita. So anyone who would believe in such a crazy thing, clearly a shaita, not to go to doctors. So mistama she was labas das, and labas das not her fault. So whatever avodah she did, like so we spoke about earlier about the katan. So mistama for this din, she's not responsible for her actions. So Ramosha says, what kind of story is that? Just because a person's over avodah zarah makes him into a shaita. Ramosha says, and the guy who bows down to the pestle is not a shaita. He's also a shaita. Shaita doesn't mean that you do something crazy. Shaita means that you're crazy. You're a gavra. It means you have some psychosis. You have some problems that you're out of touch with reality. You think you're Mashiach. You think you're Oso Ish. You think, I don't know what you think you are. So that's a potential problem of a shaita. The fact that every once in a while you do crazy things. The Gemara says that ein adam over a very adam ken nichas baruch shtos. So that's a new heter that you're allowed to. Usually people buy from.
Can someone be welcome?
I don't think so.
Like it's not a din off them.
Yeah. Again, we're not so machbit to make sure the person is, such an unbelievable tzaddik. Shulchan Aruch gives you all kind of gradations about a chassid next to a tzaddik. He doesn't make a guy. He's a chassid, a guy who's this and that, all kind of different.
Microphone.
This is mine. Yeah, my turn. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just be right this way. It's easier than messing
up. So this story of Ramosha. So they wanted to try to convince Ramosha it's okay because he's a shaita. Ramosha said that was not a good svara. Then they tried to convince Ramosha that maybe she did tshuva. Why should she do tshuva? Because apparently she started to go to doctors at the end of her life and she was dying from whatever condition she had. She went to the doctor. So that shows that she didn't really believe in the Christian scientists anymore. So Ramosha says, could be she wasn't cut for the whole thing, but she just got a little bit of intelligence, but a little bit too late. So whatever it was, Ramosha didn't think that those are really any riot whatsoever, that she didn't need tshuva, and he didn't think that there was any riot. The woman is mamash avodah zarah her whole life. So we think that tachat din of ein kovin rasha tzal tzadik really applies. And therefore, you're not really supposed to bury her in a Jewish basic verse.
But Russia means she's still a Jew. No, Russia means not as a tzaddik. You can't bury her with
chayim. No, so the question is, so where should you bury her? So you could bury her on the side somewhere. You can't bury her. She shouldn't be near any person who's a Shomer Torah mitzvah. That's what Russia writes. That he doesn't think that you're allowed to do that. That's a violation of this din of income in Russia. Whether that's going to be enforced by the cemetery or not, it's a different question. But in terms of what the theoretical halach is, if you have someone who are really convinced is a dinok Russia, there are basic verses that will not take people who have converted to other religions, other things which are considered to be clear flagrant violations of halacha, so they will not take them. So it depends on what Yeah, we have problems. Yeah, the problem. So is.
Why not Begoyim?
That's okay.
What?
Why can't you be Begoyim?
Yeah,
yeah.
She
can't.
It's not a. Yeah, I mean. It's not our problem, basically. It means we're not going to bury her in a place that's near tzaddikim here. We can't find a place for us, so whoever will find a place for her. There's a din kvura now. You have to make, even a Russia or Marusha, there's a mitzvah kvura. You have to make sure the person is buried. That's what we call Harigadezdin. They were also, the guy was over to Vedazar. He was calling Nitlin. So often that's what the Rashba says. Remember we spoke about this at the very, very beginning of the summer. We said there's no Avelus, but there's for sure mitzvah Kavura, even on the biggest Rasha.
Because we could transfer a little later.
Yeah, the puzzle talk about later because once it's mechaper already, yeah, maybe. No, it can't be eitzel, right? Okay, but it means you have to. means you got to buy out four dalaramas. You have to buy out kvarim and all the immediate dalaramas. I think is considered to be eitzel. It means you have to have an area that she's away from everybody else. That's in theory, if you want to keep the halacha properly. But there's another aspect in terms of basic varas in Yonim, and that's the din that also appears in Maseches Machos about Ein Mefarnes HaMeis. That once a person is buried, so you're not supposed to dig up the mace and even to move him somewhere else. The Maseches Machos says that even if you want to bury him in a little bit more of a Mekavetik place, so that's also an issue. What's wrong with that? So the Rishonim say a very the Rishonim say a very esoteric mystical reason, and the Achronim say a very lomdish reason. So the based on the quote on the Kobla, it's the Shach Taz quote that it's based on the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel when the Balas Ov, right, when she brought Shmuel back up from the dead, so he got all nervous. Lamer gives Tommy, what are you bothering me for? So the Chazal say, why was he so upset at her? Because he thought that he was being called Ladin. He thought they were bringing him up from the mace. They were coming to bring him to the Beis Din Shamala. So he got all nervous. Shmuel Hanavi got all nervous. So the Kobo writes that when a person's body is exhumed, so the neshama starts to get nervous. He thinks it's time for, he thinks it's Tchias HaMeis. He thinks he doesn't know what's going on. So he gets all Bilbo HaMeis. So it's a Isser of Midos in terms of it's not the nice thing to do. By the son of Allah, L'chavel Chasavet, you wouldn't like if they do that to you, that they scare you. So you shouldn't scare the mace either. So the Chazon Ish writes a much more lomdisher reason. He says that he thinks it's a bit of mitzvah kvura. He says that when the person's called by the person's cover by Adama, so then the mitzvah kvura is being fulfilled. What's that?
Who
said that? Yeah. Chazon Ish. Yeah. Chazon Ish says that once you take the person's body out, so for those couple of minutes, you're being mevatel mitzvah kvura. Who gives you the right to be mevatel mitzvah kvura? Just stop like that. So that's an interesting, two different mahalachim as to why you're not allowed to do. But the ma'is and the shechonah quotes with Farish, ain refanen es ha'meis. And it didn't apply even to Atzamos, even years later, when the Lord left his bones, it says, Beferish Maseches Machos, you're not allowed to be Mefana either. However, there are a few exceptions to this rule. So one of the exceptions that the Shulchan Aruch quotes is, if you want to bring the person, Eitzel Avosav, if you want to exhume the body in order to bury it next to his relatives, so that's okay. So the Lashon that the Shulchan Aruch quotes is Lekavro, I think the Shulchan Aruch has a Lashon, Bekivri Avosav. That's the phrase that's usually used, you know, in Chumash, speak about, you know, Kivro Siel Avosai. That's considered to be a tremendous covenant of mace. So that's okay. So what's the matter for that? So if you go with the first Mahalach that the Rishonim say, so then the mace would want it. I mean, he's willing to risk the being scared for 5 seconds, but he wants to be back with his Avos. And according to the Chazon Ish, you can argue that something like as Choshev is to be Nikva with Avosav, that's like Halaneo L'Chvoda is Mutter. That just as you're allowed to be Mevap with the Mitzvah Kvura for a couple of minutes, L'Chvoda Meis, so this is such an unbelievable covenant makes. It means if you want to just take him out of a dreary cemetery into a nice, you know, more colorful cemetery, so that's not such a covenant makes, but you want to take him back to his Avosav, that's okay. So Moshe has a tshuva in a few places about the same Shaila that seem to keep on cropping up, is that very often you have a situation where it's not so much that you want to bury, take the mace out to bury him with his fathers. That's usually not the case. It's usually the other way around. Usually you want to take him out to bury with the sons. It means what happens? Let's say somebody lived in New York. So they buried him. The guy came over the boat. Came from Europe. They lived in the Lower East Side. So they buried him in an old cemetery in the Washington Cemetery. Let's say in Brooklyn. They buried him in an old cemetery. What happens? The kids get wealthier. They don't live in the Lower East Side anymore. They move to the Five Towns. So they have a very nice, beautiful house. And then they have a nice, beautiful cemetery out there in Long Island. And the kids, they don't want to be buried in the old cemetery under the elevator train coming by. They want to be buried in a nice, Bukovetika modern cemetery. So what happens? So they buy their family plots and the new, fancy cemetery. So now what happens? So now the kids, they want to be buried with their father. So what do? So they want to take, but they want to, instead of moving themselves to the father's cemetery, they want to pick the father up and move him to their cemetery. So is that called Kivravos Osiel Avosa? That's Kivravos Osiel Banai. So is that Mutra or not? So Ramesh has the same tshuva over and over and over again in different permutations of this. That's not so pashut. That's called, we find in halacha there's an idea of being nikva with your others. That's one thing. But to say that it's covered on mace to pick him up and take him to bury him with the children, So I don't know, Ramesh, I don't know what the maskan is. He has the same discussion over and over and over again about this shayla. He says, Yesh Ladun, it's not so posh. He quotes the machlek as a place game about this. I don't remember. I was negligent. I don't remember. It's the end of the year. I didn't get a chance to finish the Marmar Kras myself. So the end of the tshuva, no one else did the kvur stuff either. So Ramesh, I don't remember how he's masik in the tshuva. He quotes him as a shayla, machlek as a place game about this. Is this considered to be also including this halacha? Then there's another din that appears in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to be mefanas ameis to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. That's also okay, because that's also considered to be such an unbelievable covenant ameis. So that's all right. So the only thing is, the poskim say that's only true if the person either expressed some interest to be buried in Eretz Yisrael at some later date, or even if he didn't express an interest, he didn't express like an objection to it. That means he wasn't so anti Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the post can say if the Ratzon HaMeis is clearly not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so because you want to go on Aliyah, so you want to be able to visit your the Kvarim, so you want to make it easier for you, not that the Meis necessarily was interested in it, so you want to go ahead and for your own personal reasons dig up the Meis and take him with you to Eretz Yisrael. So the post can say that you're not really allowed to do. So Ramesh has a truth about this. About apparently they wanted to remove the bones of Moses Montefiore, not Moses Mendelssohn, that was the other year, Moses Montefiore. So the windmill, the guy who had the money for the windmill. So he gave a lot of money to him. He gave a lot of money to Eretz Yisrael. He was buried in England, no? Stama? Did he live in England? Stama's buried in England. So did they ever move his body? Is his grave there? Is his grave in Yamin Moshe? They did move it? Yeah. So Ramosha was asked about the Shaila. I guess the people who asked, maybe the people who asked in Shaila weren't the ones who were involved in moving it. So they asked Ramosha, what's the din? Are you allowed to move his body? So first they should say, yeah, it's to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Ramosha said. He said, what do you mean? You're moving his body because lechvot to go to Eretz Yisrael? He could have been buried in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't, he had the money to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to be buried in England. That's where his family was. So Ramosha says, I don't understand. He says, if you're really so interested in moving bodies to Eretz Yisrael, so the Chafetz Chaim is also buried in Chutzlaretz, the Vilna Gaon is also buried in Chutzlaretz, how come we don't see this whole campaign to bring all the Gedolim to Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is that you don't do that. That if it's a, if it's a one, maybe like a one time. Wait, that's quick. If you have a one time, you're in LA, I know. No, I think it was just somebody rumbling upstairs. Maybe a lot of rumbling. So if you have a if you have a real situation where you really feel that it enhances the Chavad Ameis, that's one thing. But here, Ramesha was questioning the motives of the people who were moving him. And I don't want to say that they wanted to turn into a tourist attraction, but I'm saying, Ramesha said, you're not doing it lechvod Moses Montefiore. If you were doing it lechav, then you would have done the Chavad Chaim, the Vilna Gaon, and everybody else. So Ramesha thought that it was really not considered to be included in this heter of maybe others disagree with Ramesha. Okay, I don't know. Because on the books, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to take a mace to take him there at soul. It does say that. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But Ramesha at least was not happy with that at all. The Chidah was moved. Okay. Could be that he expressed an interest of being there. Maybe he, I don't know. The other heter that appears in Shulchan Aruch is, let's say there's something really wrong with the kever. Let's say the kever is this, you have the situation that is in Europe all the time. You had a base of kvaros in a particular community, and then the Jews are basically kicked out of the community. So now the government is going to take over the base of kvaros. They're going to turn it into a football field. They're going to do whatever they're going to do with it. So that, what if it's going to lead to a bizayin ha-meisim, then beferish Shulchan Aruch, then avadi, not only yolari, even mechuyim, you're supposed to try to take the meisim out if the base of kvaros isn't going to be maintained properly. Well, let's say the poskim say, let's say the base of kvaros ends up being flooded. So it's also going to be a tremendous bizayin ha-meis. So you have to size up the situation and see that if you really feel that it's going to be a bizayin ha-meisim, then the halacha is that you're supposed to take the meisim out. Or another example is, let's say the person was buried temporarily. So it means b'tchila, when they buried him, they only buried him, they really want to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, but they couldn't for whatever reason. Sometimes you had the situation, sometimes in the war, sometimes you had it, they wanted to bury the person in Harzaisim, but there was a war going on at the time, so they couldn't, so they buried him temporarily, but al-das, to move him a little bit later. So the Shulchan Aruch says that B'shas al-Chak, the Muslims say you're allowed to do that also. That's also considered to be, because the original Kavura was never really, it was only temporary Kavura Mitchila, so the Yisr of Ein Mephanas HaMeis doesn't apply. But again, besides these exceptions to the rule, as a general rule, there is a halacha that appears at Suas and Maseches Machos that Rishonim quote. The Shulchan Aruch does dedicate a few Se'ifim doing Shulchan Aruch and Kavura to this general Yisr of Ein Mephanas HaMeis. No, you only sit what's called legal atzamos, that when that you sit one day of Shiva. It's like a quasi, it's like a Shmur Chok a little bit. But you see, I think the entire day you observe like quasi Avelus, and B'chag Yerushalayim it's only for children or even for other relatives. I forgot about how we pass in this. And I did. I think it's a Kriya for a parent over again also, I think. It's the last Siman in Shachar Aruch. Siman called Likud Atzamos. So we don't have it that often in Bizman Hazeh, so we didn't put it on the Chomer. We would hang around for another couple of days, so then we didn't talk about that. No, I think just the day that you malak it, and I think just into that day. I think that's what it says. Mamash, the very, very end. Avram, remember we said that was the end of Tisha B'Av. We would always talk about Likud Atzamos. As the sun was setting, that was the end of the... You were at some of those marathons, huh? This is starting to sound like one of those. Okay, here comes our last topic. Shramish is it, guys. That's it. Okay, we got to be out of here in enough time to eat lunch before Mincha, so... I've almost picked him up at 2 o'clock, so that's it. We got to be out. And that's the Isser... what did I call this? What did I call it? Isser Hanom in the Mace? Where is it? Isser Hanom in the Mace. Okay, good. The Isser... The Isser Hanom in a Mace. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Sanhedrin that one is not allowed to get derive any benefit from a Mace. It's Din Min HaTorah. It's derived from Megla Rufa. From says Sham the Arpa Sham is Egla Benachal. Says by Tamas Sham Miriam Sham Sham Gzer Shav. It's a Din Min HaTorah. So the most basic machlekes harishonim exist in the Shaila is, does this apply only to a Jewish Mace or even to a Goyish Mace? Because Miriam happened to be Jewish, so was that just by coincidence that we learn out from her, and really it applies even to a Goyish Mace? Or do we say no, that it's dafka by someone who's dumya to Miriam, that there's an Isser Hana? So there's a Taisim of a Kama, some of you may have learned enough Yud, I think, that Taisim of the Farish, that it only applies to Jewish Mace and not to Goyish Mace. And Taisim, what in the world is doing above a Kama? Because the Gemara says v'meisi alo, that you're only chai if an animal falls into the boar, if it's an animal which is mutta b'hana. So if a sharp psulia magdashin falls into your boar, I'm putter from paying, because yatsa misha ain't a meisha loy, because he can't do anything with the mace anyway, it's exeris akasa. So Taisa says, how come you need a pasuk to say shor v'lo adam, if a person falls into a boar, so the bala boar is putter, typically that he should be putter because it's like sharp psulia magdashin, because it's a mace is also b'hana. Taisa says, how come I askin on that if a goy falls in, then if, let's say, if a Jew owns a goy as an eved, so the eved k'naini, or even if it's not necessarily real eved k'naini, is an eved akam akonali Yisrael. So the base goy, the goyish mace is mutter b'ana. So mainly you need a special gzeres akos of shor v'lo adam. So alam disha Taisa is fine. So Taisa claims that a goyish mace is mutter b'ana. So the Mishnah Melech has a long, long, long discussion at the end of Hilchas Avil about whether we should accept this Taisa or not. The problem is some Rishonim did accept it, other Rishonim didn't accept it. Anyone knows the context of the Mishnah Melech? It's a fascinating Mishnah Melech. He has in three different places about the following Shaila. Apparently in his days it was a major industry, or the mummy industry. They had just dug up the mummies in Egypt, and they were a museum. The museums were dealing with them, and some of the museum owners are Jewish. So they asked the Shaila to the Mishnah Melech whether they're allowed to deal in the mummies or not. So there were three parts of the Shaila. There was an issue in terms of Isra Hanah, because you're not allowed to buy and sell, you're not allowed to get Hanah from Dover Asa Banah. That was one Shaila. Shaila number two was that even if there's no Isra Hanah on it, but there's an Isra Achila on it, according to many Rishonim, you're not allowed to eat Besar Meitz. Besar Adam is the Machlekes Rishonim, it's Isra Darash and Isra Rabbanah. It's a Din of Schayr, but Machalos Asuras. Even though Chazer is Mutta Banah, but you're not allowed to be in the Chazer business, because the specialists, either the Raisa, the Rabbanah, that was the second half of the Shaila. And the third half of the Shaila was the Isser of Tumas Konim. Can a Kohen be involved in moving around these mummies? That's where he has a whole discussion about Mesei Akam. That's where he quotes the Urayim sheet about Magal Mas. That's where that whole fake fake that we spoke about yesterday is all in that piece. So Mishnah Melech in three different areas, three different places, talks about all these three different Shailas. So he quotes, half the Rishon hold one way and the other way. How do we pass in the loch? Is it Meis Akam Mutta Bano or not? So the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that there's an Isser on both Meis Akam and Meis Yisrael. And the Bira Gros seems to be Neit Lahakal. It seems to quote the others who disagree. That's a Shaila, what the din is Lagabi Meis Akam. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Becheiris that says as follows, not in the Rishkach, that tells the following, that they were trying to, the Tanoim were trying to figure out how many avarim in a person's body, if it's a man, a woman, they're trying to do some kind of a medical research. So the Gemara tells, I think it was a Cleopatra, if I'm not mistaken, who one of the Cleopatras, who killed one of her servants. So the body was there, so they were doing research on the body. They were looking around to try to count up, to make some kind of a cheshbon, to figure out some halakhic issues that they had to deal with. So they had, in effect, they were doing, they had a body, a cadaver, they were doing research on. So the Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara tells the Talmid of Rabbi Shmuel we're doing it, so it seems that it's okay. So the Chazon Ish writes that how is it okay? So you're not allowed to be nene min ameis. So the Chazon Ish writes, Mestambi, you have to draw one of two conclusions from that story. Either you have to draw the conclusion that it was a goyish ameis, so therefore the Gra and the Rashba and the Taisus, they have to Rishon Marai that there's no way to surrender off from a goyish ameis. Or you have to draw the conclusion that it was mutter, notwithstanding the Yisra Hanoah, because that's not called Hanoah. Hanoah means when you're buying and selling. Hanoah means when you use something to shmir on yourself. Hanoah means when you're feeding it to your dogs. But you're stop looking at something, you're learning from something. You don't have to mitzvah v'hanoah. It means it's not called Hanoah. That's just even b'alma. That's not really considered to be being nana mi'isri Hanoah. So the Chazon Ish said, you have to draw one of those two conclusions from that story. So what does that mean for us, Lamaisa? So it means that pashtus for a person to study a body in medical school, provided that it's a goyish ameis, so presumably that's going to be mutter. Memarshav is going to be mutter. Either it's mutter because a goyish ameis is mutter banah, or it's mutter because even a goyish ameis is also banah, it's still mutter because that's not called. Ray, where is he? Where did he go? Yosef Kalinsky, I spoke to him the other day, so he said to me, he asked me how was Ray's baseball game. He said he heard all these great lines about Ray's going to a Dodger Stadium. I said, yep, the whole base medish knows about it. And he was in the base medish ray. He was taking a lot of lights on us out of this. It's still rolling. They're still listening to him. So anyway, so the pashas from that Gemara, because no matter how you slice it, the Gemara says it's mutter. Either else, because it may say akam is with the manok, but that's not considered to be an act of hanah. So alach lemaisa, the pashas that's mutter. The question becomes more complicated. What if it's a Jewish mace? Are you allowed to study using a Jewish mace for study? So then you have a big problem, because if the nature of the heter is that's not called hanah, so then okay, then it won't be called hanah here also. Yeah, we're going to get that in a second. Don't worry, guys, we're coming to an end. Shkach, okay. I think we broke our record already from listening. So even though the Chazon Ish is right about the mace Akom, but a Jewish mace, so that's a 50-50 chance. Maybe that is cool, considered to be getting Hanoh. So to study a Jewish mace, that's for sure also. So it's a suffix isser of Hanoh, but there are other serious problems involving the Jewish mace. How long is a mace? I mean, it's a mitzvah kvuros. How dare you study the mace? You're supposed to pick the mace up, take him out of the lab, and go bury him. So that's a bittul mitzvah deraisa, nivel of how long is a mace? And to add more problem, it's a nivel mace. That's an isser in and of itself. The Gemara says that there's an isser of nivel mace, and a lot of do things which are. Yeah, Pasha, that's only for Jews also, yeah. Pasha, Pasha. Havana is a mace, except in Eretz Yisrael, maybe, depending on that Ramban. So the Pasha Pshat is that to study, if you're in medical school, to study a Goyish mace, so one has a right to be makel. To study a Jewish mace, so really one has no right to be makel whatsoever. So some of the Jewish medical school, so I think that they try to be makbid dafka to get Goyish bodies. The Ramesha writes that Rove bodies are Goyim. Most people who contrary to popular opinion, most people in the world are Goyim. And probably most people who donate their bodies for these purposes are Goyim also. So, okay, so unless you know that it's a Jewish, unless the tag comes, it has a name on it. Tag comes and says, Ben Cohen or something on it. Okay, so then otherwise you could probably assume that the rove is that it's okay. So it's a goyish body, so these things are not a problem. What if you have a not in terms of a general issue, in terms of using a Jewish body for these purposes, what if you have a very specific issue? Let's say a person is niftar, we want to do an autopsy on this person. Why do we want to do an autopsy on the person? Because there's some particular information that we're going to get, which can be pikuach nefesh. So what's the din? Is it mutter to do an autopsy, which is in effect potentially a bittul of halanas ameis, a potential very serious problem of nivel ameis, a chashash of hanoah min ameis? So you're allowed to do these things for the purpose of doing an autopsy, of okay, getting some information. So the Nadi Behuda was asked the shaila, and this was the Nadi Behuda's famous tshuva, that pikuach nefesh only means when you have a chol lefaneinu, when you have somebody who's sick in front of you that you know about, that's considered to be pikuach nefesh. The fact that I may learn something about something which may help somebody in 20 years from now, so nobody says that's not called a chol lefaneinu. Yeah, so we're talking about. So Nadi Behuda claims that it has to be, this is like similar to the Chassam Sofer. It means it has to be in the world of reality, in the world of make-believe, that they're going to learn something in 20 years from now that's going to help us. The Nadi Behuda says that's not considered to be a grounds to permit an autopsy. So the Binyan Tzion, The Aruch Haner, Shoshofal Hirsch's Rebbe. So the Binyan Tzion went even one step further. He thought that even if there is a Chalef Fineinu, we thought it's a problem, because the Gemara has all discussion about whether you're Mutal Hat Latzmo B'Maman Shechaveroi. So we have to pass in that I'm allowed to save myself. Let's say, for example, the only way for me to save my life is to do damage to you. So we pass in Allah, it's Mutal Hat Latzmo B'Maman Shechaveroi. But some Rishonim say, what that means is that you have to pay for it. So let's say I can't pay for it. Let's say it's impossible for me to ever make a tashlumin for that. So the Binyan Tzion claims that maybe Taka Osla Hatzlatzim Mamar Chavero. That means that's like you heard by Yavar. That's like one day in the Gemara Ksuba seems to say that the sign of Shtar V'Sheker. Remember the Gemara in the beginning said on breath. Some Rishonim, the Binyan Tzion quotes that Shita. So the Binyan Tzion says, here I'm doing a terrible Avla, not out to your day. Out to your day, that's okay. Because I'm doing an avera, it's pikuach nefesh chol lefaneinu, it's okay. But here I'm doing a terrible abdomen lechaveru. I'm destroying this guy's body, and he can't be meichel on it because he's a mace already. So osel hatzlatz mamav shachaveru. Now it's quite a chumrah. Rav Moshe in effect comes to the same conclusion for a different story. Rav Moshe says he doesn't think that he doesn't like the nebudas hagdar of chol lefaneinu so much, because he says bizman is that everything is chol lefaneinu. The whole world is one big lefaneinu. So internet, right? Find out everything. This is a chola, somebody who needs it. So comes Rav Moshe and says he thinks that just to get knowledge about a medical condition, that's not called pikuach nefesh. He says, mashmal davadomer, he says, let's say a guy wants to go to medical school. The only way for him to go to medical school is to go on Shabbos. He has to ride on Shabbos, do his work on Shabbos, he's got to drive a car on Shabbos. Pikuach nefesh, because I'm going to become a great doctor, so that's pikuach nefesh. So Rav Moshe says, that's not called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh means that when you're already a doctor and there's you have to do whatever you can to take care of someone who's sick, but Masha Enkei to become a doctor. Otherwise, Rav Moshe says, why are we all mechuyev to become doctors? We should all become mechuyev als the mitzvah v'chai b'hem. That every single person in the world is mechuyev to become a doctor in order to fulfill the mitzvah of v'chai b'hem. So Rav Moshe says that's not called pikuach nefesh. That's so far removed from pikuach nefesh. So that's not called pikuach nefesh b'chlal. So the same way you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to get better grades in medical school, so you're not allowed to be menavel ameis in order because maybe something's going to come out of it. Some kind of medical research is going to come out. Even if you do have a chelafenenu, Rav Moshe didn't think that was acceptable. So I don't know. You have to know where you draw the lines. Is that like in your case? Let's say it's so clear and obvious that there is a tremendous tzarech in front of us. I don't know. I'm not sure what Rav Moshe would say about that. Rav Moshe was talking more in theory. The tshuva Rav Moshe was written at the time. There's a little bit of a history, though. So there was a whole issues in Eretz Yisrael, the Nituchei Meisim years ago, when they were doing autopsies, mamish, right and left, for absolutely no reasons whatsoever. So there was a big tataram. They were one of the tshuvas Rav Moshe has a tshuva about is that they were having hafganot at the time against the practice of autopsies. So somebody said to Shatz Rav Moshe, they wanted to know, are they allowed to bring an avim and a mace that they had done an autopsy on to show that to be ordered the tzibor? Is that like covered a mace? Because if you get, if you just get up and everyone's screaming, yeah, autopsies are bad, blah, blah, blah. But if you come up and bring a body that was dissected and to the Hafganah, that's going to get the Olim's going to get even crazier. Everyone's going to make, they're going to go storm and, So they asked Rav Moshe that Shaila, where they thought that was considered covered a mace. I don't know what he answered. I don't know. That was interesting, Shaila. So a lot of these tubas of Rav Moshe were from that period. When was it? It's all the 60s, I don't know, around then. Around then when they were having those problems.
What about incriminating evidence like against the person?
Oh, we're gonna get in a second. So, very often what happens is like this: that in America they're usually pretty respectful about this. The person, relative, say, listen, religious reasons, we don't want any autopsies whatsoever. So they'll usually listen. The only problem is sometimes you have a very unique situation where they don't want it, where the government, there are certain laws, certain times when they have to. The person is killed or something, so homicide, so they have to do an autopsy. So what do you do? So if you're able to maneuver to finagle to avoid it, so you have to try as best as you can. If the government's not going to give you the body, so what are you going to do about it? So sometimes what they do is like this. Sometimes that, depending on what the situation is, the particular case I was involved in a couple of years ago, so the individual was hit by a car and was killed. So the law requires that they test this the individual who was the victim. They want to make sure that the person wasn't drunk, the person wasn't on drugs, because otherwise the other guy's insurance company is going to say, yeah, the reason he was hit is because the guy was stoned, he was walking around on drugs. So that's apparently common procedure that they will insist that any time a person is killed in a car accident, they will insist that that the person be tested for drugs and for alcohol. So they don't do an autopsy for that. They just have to draw some blood. Is that considered to be a nivul ameis or not? So how much are you supposed to fight for that? So I didn't know. I had never dealt with this Shaila before. So, I'll give the final psak, and then I'll tell you the background story first.
They'd be so mad if it
So this particular Chassidish fellow, who was the Bergen County clergyman, so he happened to be a member of Hatzalah also. So he was unfortunately at all ends of the spectrum. So he said to me that the law is that they're gonna draw blood. So I asked him, so what's the halacha? So he said to me, Rav Moshe's Mekel. That's all he said. Rav Moshe's Mekel to draw blood. That's all. At the time, I had no idea where does Rav Moshe's. I figured. Rabbi Moses told me, Rav Moshe said it. Okay. What am I going to, I don't know. I'm standing there in the medical examiner's office. What am I going to say? So I said, good. If you said it, it's Mutas Mutah. I just found the true Rav Moshe last week. I found where he said it. He said, you heard it in his decision. But did I, yeah, so Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe writes the head. Oh, Otazai, right. Rav Moshe writes like this Svara. Rav Moshe writes, do people view drawing blood as a terrible nevel? I go for a blood test every 6 months. I go to the doctor. He checks my cholesterol. So I don't walk around like hiding my arm like a Valka Shrigan. It's such a terrible thing. So that's not called a nevel. So Rav Moshe says, whatever people do mechayim and the oilam doesn't get so embarrassed about, it's not called a nevel ames. So Rav Moshe says, do an autopsy on somebody to cut the guy's stomach down, to start pulling out his kidneys and his kishkas, everything. That, most people don't do that when they're alive. That's considered to be a nevel ames. But to draw a little bit of blood, or Ramesh has the bias, he also says that.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Yeah, it's the same svar. Yeah, it could be. It's the same. Yeah, the same time. Whatever. So Ramesh's basic hagdara is whatever is done mechaim of a person, and people don't consider that to be a nevel, so that's not considered to be a nevel liachamisa also. So there was a gavaldika hagdara. So then last week, all of a sudden, as I was reading that tshuva, so I said, oh, the first person I heard this from was in the medical examiners in Bergen County from Rabbi Moses. So that was interesting. Anyway, he was right.
Many times you sign a waiver.
No, what? 1 second, a waiver is legal, huh? No, but this is already. Yeah, but I think this particular thing was. No, but here it was. You mean in theory, if we would.
I'm wondering that because of the issue of Ramesh, yeah. Would it be that obviously the family would want to sue or something? So is it better to tell them to sign that waiver or not to sue?
So that's a tricky question. Let's say the only. If it would have been an issue of an autopsy, yeah. So that's not a problem. But here, Ramesh is making. Ramesh writes, he doesn't have a riot. It's interesting. And the Chubby writes, he doesn't have a riot for this, but he thinks it's right. He thinks that you could be samech on it. So, if it would have come down to a point of an autopsy, right, the other option would have been is that you it's going to cost you a pretty penny, you know, for blood, I don't think you have to sign for blood. Rav Moshe writes in the Svara that, he writes the Svara, it's a good Svara, and Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't have a riot, but he thinks that it's right.
Autopsy would be required to be seen.
What? No, I'm saying autopsy, the Svara is like this, what's Pshat? Why do they want to do... It could be in murder cases. I don't think they're going to give you an option of signing where. I remember when somebody called me. Remember that we spoke about at the very beginning of the summer about the government wouldn't release the body,
yeah.
Right? So I think they got a word doing an autopsy. A guy was killed. A guy was shot. Whatever. So, but like in a case in a car accident, so the insurance company is going to say, listen, I'm not going to pay you insurance unless I know that this person wasn't X, Y, and Z. So I don't know. If it would be shocked to sign a waiver for other things, yeah, maybe you'd be required to do it. But in terms of blood, so could I rub my shoulders? So one last thing in terms of.
What about operation or an aver or person also would do.
No, but the void is that the person does consider that to be a new. No one, a person who had a finger removed, a person who had an arm removed, considers that to be a terrible nevel. The only problem is they had no choice because the doctor told me that or you're going to die from whatever, from something else. So they had to have it removed. But Shainkane, when you get a blood test, so people, I don't think most people are so embarrassed. They're walking around with a. Yeah, they have a big smile that says, I gave blood today for the first time. Yeah, so that's not the stomach, that's not considered to be an evil. No, but the problem is, but to remove the internal organ, you got to cut through the. What the autopsies do is they basically just cut right through. They don't, and they don't sew it up so nicely afterwards. So like it's not, you know, it's not like a surgery. It's much worse than that. There is one last thing in terms of Isra Adam and Ameis, which I guess we'll close off with this summer. And that's as follows. There is a machlekes in the Rishonim, how to learn Pshat Gemara Maseches Erechin, about whether Seir min Ameis is also. It's a person dies and we remove the hair and use the hair for something. Is that also ben also? Shulchan Aruch is machim, like those Rishonim are machim, and the Shach and the Kodesh Kesef quotes that he thinks the Igra, then I think the Rambam, not mistaken, is Mekel, that the Maskana Gemara really is that it's Mutter. So the only reason why there was machlekes is because the hair is connected to the body. There are more rites, let's say, other things which are on the body, say rings. If a person dies and they have rings on, so the rings, that's not connected, you take it off and finish. But things which are mamish mechubit to the person's body, that's a potential problem. And the hair is the worst case scenario, because it's mamish connected, it's literally part of the body. So the mechabu is machme and the shach is mekel. So apparently there was an issue, I don't know whether the issue was resolved or not, that some of the shetels were being made with seyar of people who are no longer in this world. That means that the seyar was being removed after death. So I'm not saying this is all a shaitel. I don't want to put the shaitel industry out of business, but apparently there was such a scandal. Anyone hear about this? It was a couple of years ago. Some people. So the question is like this. So first of all, the overwhelming odds are that they're goyim. Most people are goyim. Most people in the world are goyim. I think they were getting them from, I don't know, from China, wherever they're getting them from. So first of all, they're goyim. Okay, but Goyim is not so posh that's both of the Shulchan. If you put both statements of the Shulchan Aruch together, it's a problem, because the Shulchan Aruch asked makes Akam Bano, Pashas Minat Torah, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch also happened to be the one who was Machmer on the Seir. So according to Maran HaMechaber, the Ramah doesn't comment on the Goyim and doesn't comment on either one. So maybe the Ramah, yeah. But the problem is that the Shach was Mekel on the hair, and the Gura Mekel didn't seem to be Mekel on the Goyim. So I don't know. So maybe it's all a suffix. Also, maybe you can order. Maybe Rove the shetels weren't coming from there. Maybe called the parsh Ruba parsh. I don't know. So labor dikshana. I don't know what the maskana hasadvarim was now, but I don't know anybody who gets there are hashkachas on shetels. That's for other reasons in Eretz Yisrael. We have those things, but I don't think anybody has a hashkach which says on it Noki mechashash iser hanoam min ameis. I don't know. Maybe they do. Could be they do. I'm not sure. But I hope one of an interesting. Figured you would consider that to be a little interesting tidbit of information in terms of the iser hanoam min ameis. Anyway. The bottom line is that, as the Shulchan Aruch concludes, and the Ramah concluded Chazavelos, that Chazavelos, Machshem, is a very labedik, very enjoyable. That's a labedik, but it's a very enjoyable limud. Like when the poskim say you're not supposed to learn it when the poskim say that you're allowed to learn the Tisha B'Av or Bizman Avelos, already pointed out, that means if you learn it very dry, like you know, just reading Shulchan Aruch, as Avram Willi can tell you about in the good old days in Lake Como. But these types of shiurim, so hopefully, I don't know if the shiurim were enjoyable. I enjoyed them. I hope you guys enjoyed them also, but. Baruch Hashem, there is a tremendous geshmak, a simchas haTorah, but Alpha Bichain that the Ramah ends off the very end of Chas Avelos, just to remind everybody that a chai yiten libo, that it's we sometimes take light some of these things only for the purpose of limud, but it's a musar haskel that a person hopefully will put things into the proper perspective and the proper especially the time now when we're already starting the days of Chodesh Av, the days of Avelos for the Beis Hamikdash. So a person will have the proper perspective on Chayim and Mavis, as we quoted earlier from I think somebody told us over to some of the guys from the Rav. The Gemara says Maseches Brachos that if a person is about to do an Aveira, so they can't control themselves, so the Gemara says they should learn Torah. And if it doesn't work, they should say Kriyashma. If it doesn't work, they should think about the Yom HaMisa. So the Rav said, so why don't you think about the Yom HaMisa right away and cut out the learning in the Kriyashma? So the Rav says, because Chazal didn't want people to be depressed. It's not such a good thing to think about Misa all the time. You can mamish get, you can get down in the dumps. So you're not supposed to think about it all the time, but every once in a while, when you need it to give you that kick, to put things in the proper perspective, so then it's supposed to be. So Chayitin Libos, hopefully we should be Zeicha to Bila Mavas Lanetzach, that this should become that area of halacha that's not relevant to halacha lemais anymore, and hopefully everybody enjoyed the summer. I enjoyed it immensely, and a big Eshkoyach to everybody for hanging in there, all the official members, all the unofficial. I think at some point, I think we may even have more unofficial members than official members in the call already. So, Baruch Hashem, I hope we had an enjoyable summer. I wish everyone everyone.